If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Stop it. We're in a sealed environment.
Yeah, right.
Just getting here was interesting.
Oh.
Because we were debating as we were driving to the station, do we put the air conditioner on recirculate? What do we do?
In fact, that's one of the things. A little later tonight, we're going to be joined by Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And one of the things that he is researching right now is what happens when you put your car's air conditioner on recirculate. Is that the right way to do this?
Keep breathing the same old stinky air as opposed to the stinky air outside, I guess. I don't know. I'm just happy to be here. And I posted pictures. For those of you who are in an area that's not smoky, you can see what the skyline is like driving on Lakeshore Drive heading southbound.
What there is to see of the skyline.
Yeah, it's very ghostly. It's kind of cool, but not good for you, right? Stop it!
No, it's fine.
You're going to make me start coughing.
This is the first. Is it me?
It's you.
Bob Fukuda is in the studio with us. Bob, this mic sounds a little different to me. Does it sound different to you, or is it just my voice? Who knows?
Listen to the sound of my voice.
Yes.
My voice.
What sounds different?
It just sounds...
You sound smoky?
Well, now it sounds a little better for some reason. I have no idea what... It's because Bob is working his magic from the other side of the control board.
He just looks at you and it heals it.
You've
right?
just brought your car into the mechanic and the mechanic says, nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. Exactly right. Yep. It's the classic, you light the cigarette and your food comes, right?
Yeah, years ago, we were talking with one of our mechanics and he said, well, you know, the rule is anytime you get within a mile of the car dealership, the problem goes away. Yeah.
But my experience was the last time I pulled into our friendly mechanics, McCormick Auto, and I said, I don't know, things don't seem quite right. And so Larry, one of the mechanics, says, okay, I'm going to get in the passenger seat. Let's ride around the block. We're riding around the block. And he goes, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
What are you experiencing? And I'm like, pounding on the steering wheel. It was bad 5 minutes ago. Really? And he's in the car with me going, okay, fine. It'll get better.
Well, this is our first excursion out because of the weather, the smoke, the everything. We canceled. There were a number of things we were supposed to do this week, and we said, nope, not going to do that.
Mm-mm. And I masked up to go out and water my flowers. And
the flowers were masked up?
Yes. It's been a weird couple of days. Everybody feeling okay? Bob, you feeling okay physically? You're not feeling any effects from the smoke?
Well, you know, I normally stay away from vegetables, so I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you doing good?
Yeah, we're good on this end. Everything smells less smoky on this side of the glass.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
And, Ron?
Yeah, I'm taking the advice of everybody and staying indoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only going out when I have to. That's just like walking to the car and back. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Did you get out to see Odyssey this week?
I did. I certainly did.
Hold your thought.
That's the tease.
Yes. Because I'm dying to find out what you thought, because I was in the newsroom earlier and I intentionally did not ask him because I wanted to find out on the radio.
Before we break, we should mention, oh boy, have we got a lot of interesting stuff tonight.
Yeah.
We are going to talk to Mr. Pierogi tonight.
Yes. The one and only Pierogi Mr. Pierogi.
Fest starts, will be going on next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk with Mr. Pierogi. Also, the empty pockets, the front pockets of the empty pockets,
yes.
Erica Brett and Josh Solomon are going to be joining us in the studio. And a little later, we'll be talking with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And we've got some other goodies that we brought in.
We do. And I did mention the pictures. You can see our pictures on our Facebook page. Did I put up like 22 pictures?
Something like that.
I haven't had a chance to see what they look like online, so go ahead, enjoy yourself.
And speaking of things to see, you should go to our blog or our YouTube channel, and our blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, and there are some brand new videos from Jack and Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are videos that were done. It was a community of people working on this because we had Jack and Jen in with us when we were in Panama City, Florida. So there were some cameras there that were set up, and Tom Hoots and Becca Stark were handling the video and the sound there. Then, cut to, they get sent to Julian, our official videographer, who worked some magic on there.
It is so cool.
If you haven't seen them, you need to take a look at this. This is some really, really cool stuff.
And he's in the house tonight to do some videos of the front pockets, the empty pockets. So we've got a lot coming up tonight, so stay with us. You know, you can get to us at any time at 312-981-7200. Coming up, we'll get a little review of The Odyssey, a big old movie, with Ron coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You can text us, 312-981-7200. That's the text and talk number. So we're curious about this movie, The Odyssey, that just premiered this weekend.
Right. It won the box office so far. It looks like it's going to be the number one movie, not only at the box office, but for Christopher Nolan. And great interview with him on The Daily Show last Monday
night.
With
Jon Stewart.
With Jon Stewart.
And Ron, did you happen to see that interview?
I didn't know. Tell me about it.
It's worth looking up. One of the many things that we found out that we had no clue about, when they're shooting a movie in IMAX, they can only do it for 3 minutes at a time with an IMAX camera.
I did hear that, yeah.
That's crazy. And they shot this whole... How long is the movie?
It's a three-hour movie, but shot much more than that. You have to shoot a lot more.
So how many 3 minutes...
And it's very dramatic.
And if you're in the middle of a, I'm about to stab you, but I have to hold that stab position because they have to change the IMAX... What?
That's the magic of editing.
That blows my mind.
They had to figure it out. They knew what they needed to do. And, with storyboarding and editing and shot placement, so they knew what the limitations were. You can't tell that there are any limitations at all in the movie. It is epic. It's bold. It's big. And it's mostly, I think, entirely. Entirely a location shootings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's nothing that's done in a studio.
He said we needed a ship. We got a ship.
There's a ship. Yeah. They're on a ship. They're getting wet. There's ocean water that's splashing in their faces.
No CGI stuff.
No.
He's very big on doing things on film, and he's old school about trying to get people to come back to the theater to see movies, a group experience.
And I hope that happens. Well, this is the would be the best way to see this. This is going to be a movie, I can tell you, that is going to be, it's a classic. It's destined to be a cinematic classic. It's going to be one of these, I don't know if you're familiar with the Japanese filmmaker Akira Kurosawa.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is on that scale. And people are still talking about Kurosawa's movies from the 50s today, like they hold them up as, masterpieces. This will be in that same category.
Can you come to this knowing nothing at all about the books?
Well, I don't know, because I did know a little bit about the story, and I had seen, and I'm glad that I did, I saw another movie about the Odyssey just a couple of years ago. Ray Fiennes did a movie called The Return, where it's not about the Odyssey per se, it's just the end of it, where it's just the Odysseus's return to Ithaca. So it's the final chapter of the Odyssey. So I'd seen that, and it's very well done. It's just not as epic as Christopher Nolan's. And so I knew where it was going right at the beginning. It could be confusing if you're not versed in the story. Excuse me. Because it's told in flashback, and there's some stories in the beginning that if you didn't know what they were doing, it might be a little confusing to you. You might have to see it a second time, and that's not a bad thing.
Are there any moments where the stars, because it is a star-studded cast, mm-hmm. do they take you out of the movie? Because sometimes that can happen.
Yeah, it sure can, but no, not in this. These are great performances. You will hear Anne Hathaway's name called at the Oscars, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of role, and she does very, very well. I think Matt Damon will be nominated as well, just because he's the star of The Odyssey. Not that he's a bad actor or anything, but this isn't the kind of showy role that usually wins an Oscar, but he'll certainly be nominated just because of who he is and what kind of movie it is. They might even give it to him, that happens a lot too, but it is there are the performances are all powerful.
Well, shows what I know. If you had said to me a month ago, what do you think this is going to do at the box office, I would have said it will probably have an initial splash, but it's too long and people aren't going to be interested in it. Oh boy, am I surprised, because apparently even the audiobook on Spotify has gone up 300%.
Wow, that's great.
The sales of the book, they can't even keep it in bookstores, which
that's
is crazy.
Great. Yeah. It's a classic story, so people, it's got that. And this movie will continue to grow because of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Because it's not a letdown. It's not a, disclosure day where there's a big buildup and a big expectation. And then you go into the movie and go, well, so that's it? Is mm-hmm. that all there is?
Yeah.
This delivers. And a lot of that has to do with the editing. A lot of that has to do with the storytelling. I mean, they withhold a lot of the action scenes till the end. Matter of fact, the final 10 minutes of the story is really just a lot of action and very well done. But they withhold that. It's not linear storytelling. It's done in flashbacks. It's just that artistry of storytelling that's very much on display, that Christopher Nolan really knew how to tell this story.
Sure.
It's masterful. It's kind of immersive. Like because they take you to these places, it feels just like
interesting, because some of the criticism has been, for example, using modern-day jargon.
Yeah.
Like he calls Odysseus dad.
Right.
And he would not have used that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are a couple of other examples I came across. And then there's some quote-unquote controversy about Lupita
Nyong'o.
Her character.
As Helen of Troy, yes.
Yeah. Well, she should not be an African-American woman. So, again, these are people who have not seen the movie either. So
right.
They just find reasons to complain about it.
Yeah, you draw attention to yourself. You make a big noise, that kind of thing.
Right,
so
right.
There's nothing really that takes you out of the movie in this film. It flows very, very well.
Wow.
It's a three-hour movie, and it just flows. And a lot of that has to do with the soundtrack as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big orchestrated soundtrack that it'll cues you emotionally for something mm-hmm. big and exciting that's going to happen. It is in the background, and it just feels the right tone. And that's, he's a master filmmaker.
Oh, he is. He's such an interesting man, too. And if the Odyssey continues to do what it looks like it's going to do at the box office, it will rank as the fifth best opening for an R-rated movie ever after Deadpool and Wolverine. Which I was surprised that those were the two ahead of it.
Deadpool, Wolverine, The Odyssey.
The Odyssey, yes.
But, audiences love what they love, and I am glad that they are going to see this, and I think that they will for years and years. This is a movie that, my grandchildren are going to be watching.
So you think this is going to be one of those movies that will have legs throughout the summer? And I'm asking that because one of the last times that I recall a movie having those kind of legs was, oddly enough, Christopher Nolan's first Batman movie, which was the movie of
the summer.
That whole summer.
Yeah.
Well,
his Oppenheimer did very, very well.
That's true.
Right.
And earlier this year, Project Hail Mary, they held that in the theaters for like 5 months, if not longer, before they ever put it to streaming. So this will probably lose something in streaming. It won't be maybe as impressive as for an audience. I did not see it in IMAX. I saw it across the street here at AMC 21 River East, but it was a laser you know, the large screen, you know, a lot of seats, kind of a laser projection screening, and I thought it looked fantastic.
Hmm. Are you going to go back and try to see it in IMAX?
That's a good question, and the answer is yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, now you sold me on it, because literally I was on the fence. I thought, I'm not so sure I want to sit through 3 hours. And I said to Steve a number of times when we saw the various actors being interviewed on late night television this past week, why doesn't somebody find out how Matt Damon got that role? Because he's like the last person in the world I would expect to be cast as Odysseus, but it apparently works.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
And you can hear Ron do reviews on Lisa's show on Thursday afternoons, right,
yeah,
Ron?
Yeah, I'll be reviewing this one, and I'll also be reviewing another movie that I would recommend to you. Mm-hmm. It's called Tony, and it's about Anthony Bourdain.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, so that's going to be released, I think, in a couple of weeks, but I think the embargo is over on the review for me on Thursday.
And before you put on your news hat, blatant plug for your YouTube channel?
I don't have a YouTube channel yet.
Oh, I thought you did.
That's coming. It's still to be,
okay.
Yes.
Well, good.
All right. That's embargoed until...
Do you have time?
Until we get it up and running, yeah.
Okay.
That is going to be coming soon. But thank you for the plug. I appreciate it.
All right. Put your hat on, your news hat, and we will take a break and come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN. We want to go back to the newsroom and ask Ron about what the heck happened. He caught the ball while holding a baby. What the, huh?
It's not the first time either. That's the funny thing.
Set the stage. This was the 10th anniversary of the Cubs winning the World Series. So it was a big deal.
A lot of the former Cubs are in town. They had a big deal. Kevin Wells from the newsroom. Went to see them at the Chicago Theater, said it was just absolutely great. Over $100 a ticket. He said it was worth it. That's what I said. I said, well, that would have kept me from going. He said, you would have missed a great one. So he had a great time there. They're in town. Anthony Rizzo's, of course, is going to be taking in the game. He buys a ticket. He goes to the bleachers. He brings his infant baby son. He's sitting there having a good time, cheering on the Cubs. The first inning, Michael Busch hits a long fly ball. Could it be? Yes, it is, in the bleachers, and there's Anthony Rizzo holding his baby son.
Oh,
an outstretched arm catches the home run ball in the bleachers.
And Anthony's wearing the 10-year anniversary jersey, World Series jersey.
That was the jersey he was wearing when they won the World Series.
Yeah.
So, buy that man a beer. That's just incredible.
And how about the ball was 101.6 miles an hour?
He's pretty good.
and the video, after I heard your story, I looked for the video. His boy is just beautiful. But I'm thinking, wait, he's holding him real tight so he doesn't get confused and he throws the baby instead of the ball. And the fans around him are just, the next eight innings were like, okay, nothing can surpass what just happened over here in the bleachers.
I love that.
Well, the funny thing is, last year, I think it was last year, Moises Ballesteros hit his first major league home run to the left field bleachers. Who was there? Anthony Rizzo. He missed catching that ball, but it was hit right to him, and he touched it. So, you know, he kind of joked about that's why he's retired, because he didn't catch the ball. But where he's like a home run magnet out there. That's not easy to do. I mean, there's the bleachers.
No.
There's a lot of space out there. So it's
and you got a kid in your hand. Come
and
on.
You have a kid
and
in
no
your
glove
hand.
To catch the ball.
Yeah, it was, wow. It was
a
fantastic.
Story.
A great story.
Yeah.
By the way, I have one other baseball-related question for you, and I don't expect you to know the answer, but it came up this weekend. Do you know, is there any major league, you pay for it, program, subscription, whatever, that allows you to follow your favorite team and see your favorite team regardless of who is carrying the broadcast? And I ask this because we heard from several people that are Cubs fans or Sox fans. And, oops, no, you got to have this,
Apple.
Was it Apple, or then there was
Paramount.
Because
Friday night's game.
And people are saying, wait a minute, I just bought the subscription to see the team for the whole season. Why am
I
not getting that?
Right.
Well, we missed the Sox game Friday night because it was on Apple TV. We don't have Apple TV. And Sundays is on Paramount.
Yeah, I do know the answer to that. The answer is no, there's not. Because they give out exclusive dates to, like, Apple TV. to Amazon for Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can have these special days. So they want to lure in more users just for that reason. So,
and to me,
it's not good for the fans.
Absolutely not. You're thumbing your nose at the fans. Yeah, you're going to make money. You would think there would be some sort of a, if you want to call it Major League Plus or something, some subscription where you buy the subscription, and yes, if it's on Apple or whoever, you get to see it. You pay a little more, but you'd think they could work that out somehow.
I agree. Put me down as a yes.
Okay.
I'm right there with you. You go get them, Steve.
Well, we wasted our afternoon listening to the Sox game because, as we were saying
last night. We didn't waste it.
Well, they did really well last night.
Len and DJ are wonderful.
I agree.
I would love to get both of them on and interview them sometime. They're some of the best in the business.
We're talking off the air about the fact that they're so... should I say interesting, that one day they can do 12 home runs and the next day they can't even score.
A
couple of weeks ago they did 22 and then it was like one the next day.
Baseball. I don't think you can explain it. It's just...
I'm going to blame it on the smoke.
No!
It could have to do...
You're in Toronto.
A lot of it could be the pitching, too. I mean, they had two different pitchers. You know, the one they beat up for all those runs is not the same pitcher they faced today.
Well,
so
it's true, but there are a bunch of other guys that showed up that...
And I'm the kind of baseball fan that likes the low-scoring game. So as you go into the ninth inning, every batter has the potential of tying or winning the game.
And
that just makes it exciting, and you stay right in there.
No, I don't think that's boring. I'm on the edge of my seat thinking, okay, this is going to be good if we get to the ninth, because there have been a couple of times with the Sox that in the ninth we thought it was, you know, thank goodness
and then,
we didn't walk away because,
don't give up on that team.
Yeah, down to one out, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, they're not winning? How did that happen? So... anyway, it was a fun day for baseball. I guess Surratt was at the game yesterday, the Cubs game, when they unveiled the big championship gate.
Yes, at Gallagher Way.
So this is a gate that, takes you into the park? It's been forever since I've been on Clark Street to know what's going on over there.
Yeah, Gallagher Way is along the left field line. They've got like a play area for the kids, which is actually very, very cool. You see fathers and sons playing catch in that area. There's also little fountains for the babies who like to splash in the water.
Right.
And that's where the statues are. So it's a great little park for baseball fans. And I like what they did. They didn't underdo it. They didn't overdo it. It's really, really nice.
Well, speaking of Wrigley, this past week, there were two sold-out shows at Wrigley. And, I mean, we've talked often about the fact that we buy new music regularly. Probably every week we've got at least one CD coming to the house that we've purchased. But there was a guy that sold out Wrigley Field two nights in a row.
Noah Kahan.
Are you familiar with him, Ron?
I'm not familiar with his music, no.
I went looking for his music.
I remember now, we saw him on Saturday Night Live.
We did?
Yes. And, there was some other show we saw.
Is it Kahan or Kahan?
I'm not the one to ask.
All right. Jonathan, do you know Noah?
I don't, but I'm happy to look this up.
Honest to gosh, sold out two nights in a row, and I did not know that on Waveland, people come to concerts with their folding chairs, and they sit there, like 1,000 people were there both nights, as hot as it was. Yeah. People stood in line early in the morning to get the last minute tickets that might be available. Sold out, flat sold out two nights in a row. And he'd come from Fenway where he sold out Fenway. And I'm like, where have we been?
Yeah, I don't know that they, how much, or if airplay is even a thing anymore.
I know.
You know, I think everything's downloaded. And
isn't that amazing, though? Two nights in a row after coming from Fenway where you sell it out. Yeah. And then to have people line up. Again, to me, that would be the coolest thing, is to take your chair and sit on Waveland and to be able to just talk to people around you and stand up when you want to stand up. And
you might be able to even see something on the video boards that they
have. That's true.
There,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I did go see Bob Dylan at Northerly Islands, and I mentioned that because he doesn't allow those video boards. He doesn't have that. Uh-huh. He just plays a concert, and what you see is on stage, and that's it. And that was very interesting and kind of refreshing, too, because a lot of times you're really kind of distracted. You can't help yourself from looking up at the video boards for the, you know, the coast club. And he's like, no. You know, I'm down here.
You would have seen him with our friend Joel Patterson.
Who I, sure
the new guitar
yes.
player.
I sure did.
We're so proud of Joel.
And I almost ran into Joel Patterson when I went to Cincinnati over the weekend, because I went there and I was like, what's some interesting things to do? Herzog Records is in Cincinnati, and Herzog Records is where Hank Williams recorded Lovesick Blues.
Yep.
That's where he recorded I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Yeah.
So I went, I'm there. So I went. And just took a picture by the sign. I thought that the studios might still be standing, but my friends and I, we went there and we took a picture by the sign to find out that Bob Dylan's band was there about an hour earlier.
Exactly. And if you look on Joel Patterson's Facebook page, he put some pictures from right where you were.
Yeah. Exactly, right where I was. We were just about an hour apart. I know I would have recognized him. I would have been like, hey, check this out.
I've seen you in studio before.
You know, when you're in Cincinnati and you love music, that's where you go.
Yeah.
And I'm showing that Noah's last name is pronounced Khan, and they use an example as the Mongol ruler Genghis Khan.
Okay.
Really? So Kahan or Kahan, it's Khan.
Khan.
Okay.
All right.
And, and after we take a break, we're going to come back with a little bit of one of his tracks.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam on WGN Radio. That's Noah Khan and the Great Divide, and I saw a bit of an interview with him on... with Jimmy Fallon, and he was talking about how he doesn't really know where this stuff comes from, but so much of his stuff is really depressing, and he's not a really depressed guy.
Why he's speaking to people? I mean,
I guess.
Because there were all ages and all walks of life that were waiting in line at the crack of dawn to get into Wrigley for one of the two nights that was sold out. I mean, I just find it fascinating. And his concert tonight at Citi Field in Queens, New York was going to happen. And just shortly before the doors opened tonight, they had to cancel it because of the weather.
Yeah.
The final call was made after the stadium's team monitoring the weather patterns in New York City said, we can't do this. I guess at one point they decided that he would come on without an opening act, get the show going, get out, and then they decided this is just not a good idea.
Yeah.
It was a difficult decision to make. I'm sure if it was anything like Chicago with, you know, sold out crowd, that would be a really hard decision to make.
And that's huge to sell out two nights at Wrigley and four nights at Fenway. And just, I mean, he's selling out every place. And honestly, we weren't that aware of him. I mean, we'd seen him and
I didn't even know I'd seen him because he didn't impress me. He's just kind of okay. He's pleasant.
Fine. You know,
if I listened to the lyrics of the music that I saw out after seeing the crowds at Wrigley, I thought, it's kind of sort of depressing.
And I'm wondering, is it the comparison I use, and it may not be a fair comparison, and I need to hear more of his music, but it's like, is he sort of this decade's Jack Johnson?
I mean,
because
Jack Johnson could be a little upbeat and kind of.
Jonathan, what do you think? Because you're familiar with Jack Johnson, does it that kind of resonate with you that it's kind of this decade's Jack Johnson-ish thing?
I think that's an interesting comparison. I hadn't thought about it previous to you bringing that up, but I do like that. I think Khan may be a little bit more electric, it sounds.
But he
and a little more depressing.
Well, wait. His band is made up of what you would think would be a bluegrass band because he has banjo and mandolin and fiddle. I'm like, wow.
So more folky than Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am told that his music has been played on XRT in Chicago. So there is some airplay. Yeah. There has to be a way people are finding him. And a listener said, who? Well, Noah, the last name is spelled K-A-H-A-N. That's the guy you just heard, that little piece of music. And his tour is called The Great Divide. That was The Great Divide.
Yeah.
And he sold out two nights at Wrigley and had thousands of people sitting outside the field so that they could just experience.
And he sold out four nights at Fenway. I mean, he's selling out every place.
He sold out
every place.
Citi Field in Queens, and there are a bunch of unhappy people in New York because they called that one off. I don't think it's because of smoke, is it?
Or
is
I think it is because really? Of the weather, yeah.
Eesh. Wow. Okay, so we're not the only ones.
Yeah. That,
young again, Julian is in the house. I say young Julian because we always... Are you familiar with this dude that we're talking about?
Okay.
Who?
Thank you. Are you the one that texted in and said, who? Because that's exactly what it was.
I think I knew he was on SNL. That sounds familiar.
You just broke the headphones.
I
that's going to come out of your pay. Oh that's boy. Right. You don't get pay from the station.
Oh, it was like that when I found it.
Yes. So you remember him on SNL too.
Yeah.
I must have fallen asleep during that. Because frankly, I don't like most music presented on SNL, not because of the music, but the way they present it. It always sounds crappy.
And a lot of it has to do with the miking.
The miking.
It's just awful.
And I have a friend that says it's because your TV is too sophisticated. No.
I'm going to harangue just for 1 second.
Yes.
One of the shows that we watch on a regular basis, there is it's an hour long Grand Ole Opry show. Grand Ole Opry has some of the most talented people mm-hmm. on the planet and some of the best engineers on the planet. It's the worst miking of just about any show I've ever seen, and I don't understand it.
They're loud and soft, and then...
Well, it's like if a singer steps up to the microphone and starts singing, you'll hear about the first word, and then his voice gets forced down.
Mm-hmm.
It's compressed down. It's all
kind of
the
what happens
electronics that they're using.
On Saturday Night Live, too.
Sometimes,
because sometimes you're like, I'm not understanding what they're saying because they're all muffled because the band is too hot.
I believe Lorne Michaels has famously agreed to you when he said, rock and roll music, live TV is the worst way to listen to rock and roll music.
Okay.
So. Well, but to that I would say, okay, but go back to the Beatles on Sullivan, Elvis
simpler.
On Sullivan,
yeah. They had
some of the shows like... Yeah, they weren't overthinking it.
Yes. It was a simple microphone. You walked up and you sang into that microphone. You didn't have filters. And I'm just guessing. I don't know. By the way, a listener says that Noah Kahan, since the pandemic, he is the post-COVID Bob Dylan. And he's great.
I can see that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's a fun comparison.
I know.
Yeah. I like that. I might have to check this guy out. Was it Noah Kahan?
Kahan.
K-A-H-A-N.
It's pronounced
K-A-H-A-N.
Cashew?
Yeah. Yeah. Achoo. Bless you. K-A-H-A-N. Because that's what I did. I had to seek him out after I saw these crowds on the front page of the paper.
I want to learn more about it, but I'm curious, why would he be compared to a Bob Dylan? Is it because of... Does he do things that are maybe a little protest in nature?
I think so.
Is it his lyrics? Is it because a lot of times Dylan would just throw words against the wall, but it worked.
Yeah.
Is it because he looks like Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah, just like him. Yeah. Did you see that movie?
Yeah. Complete Unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see that one either because I was like, no, I've got the real Bob Dylan. I don't need to see Timothy. And frankly, I'm having a problem with him because of his relationship with a
ballet. Oh, and the Kardashian.
That's just me, okay?
He lost me after that ballet comment.
Oh that's yeah, that's two. Right. He made the negative comment about ballet, and mm-hmm. boy, he paid for that one, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
that bit him in the backside. All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up,
we're going to talk to Mr. Pierogi.
Yes, that doesn't happen every week.
Yes.
So stay with us here on WGN.
Thank you, friends. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Is it that time of year? Well, it will be in a week. Pierogi Fest in Whiting, mm-hmm. July 24th through the 26th.
And we are honored because we get to say hopefully he's not melting, because that always concerns me when we talk to Mr. Pierogi. How are you, Mr. Pierogi?
Hello, Steve. Hello, Johnny. What a great song.
How about that?
Lead in with that.
That'll get you in the mood.
That gets me in the mood. You know, it's late at night on a Saturday, but I'm up and I'm polka-ing as we speak.
Well, I'm happy that we were able to get you pre-Pierogi Fest, because I know in past years you are out there sweating bullets, because it gets really warm when you're with like 100,000 of your closest friends, right?
And you're right.
And we've been talking to you before when you were covered with flour, and it was just...
Exactly. You know, the last 2 years, you're right. When we called last time, you know, I'm out there on the streets of 119th Street in Whiting, Indiana. But, you know, it's nice now. We're doing it the week before, so it's a little promo to get you in the mood for Pierogi Fest.
No, I said 100,000 people. I think I read that there have been fests that have brought in as many as 300,000. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I would venture to say that is correct. You know, it's 3 days. It's a massive crowd. But you know what? Everybody's having a good time. They're enjoying themselves. But, you know, Pierogi brings the world together, Steve and Johnny.
It does.
And for people that are not familiar with Pierogi Fest, how did it get started, and where did they find it in Whiting?
Yeah, so going on about 33 years ago already, it was founded in Whiting, Indiana. Tom Dapperton, Marty Dibble, a few select others, you know, they kind of introduced this thing. And the first year or so, you know, it was kind of a small town thing, you know, or a small city thing. They have a couple Pierogi booths, and people would come. But, you know, over the years, it's kind of grown, like you said, to this massive festival. Made the biggest in the Midwest, maybe the biggest in America, maybe the biggest in the world. But
I think so.
don't fact check me on that, but okay. I'm going with it. But you know, it's amazing over the decades kind of what it's grown up to be, and people just love it. They get a kick out of it. It's not just Pierogi. It's a lot of food vendors, and it's just a great time.
But now there are a lot of different kinds of pierogies, right?
That is true. Of course, you got your traditional potato, cheese, possibly prune. But in the years past, I know I'd seen a brisket pierogi or...
Brisket.
Buffalo chicken pierogi. I think that was alligator, I think, was the thing one year, too, which is kind of interesting. I don't know what's going to be on the table for this year, but there's always some options for everybody out there.
And I think last year you reported that there were gluten-free pierogies available.
You're right. Somebody did have the gluten-free pierogi. They should still be out there again, of course, for the people that, you know, have certain, you know, needs in their pierogi.
And they want to enjoy a pierogi.
Well. Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was big news, because you hate to be hanging around with a bunch of people and they're just going, oh, this is so good. Oh, and you can't eat it. So at least there's a choice.
We should mention that
there's some for everybody.
We should mention people can get all kinds of information. Go to pierogifest.com. .net. That's pierogifest.net. And there's information on how you get there, on hotels and parking. But for people, if somebody is coming from downtown Chicago, how do they get to this, and where do they park, and how much does it cost and all that?
Well, you give out the best site there. That's going to give you the update on all the parking. You know, there's always people that, you know, go out there and they try to find the street parking, and you could do that, but a lot of people in Whiting, they're smart. They'll put out the chairs, they'll put out the statues of the Blessed Mother. It's called dibs, so you take your spot with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you find a spot in the city, that's great, but there's also a lot of parking lots. There's shuttles that will take you to and from the fest. The fest is totally free, of course. It's no admission price to get in there. And, you know, you got to pay if you want some food and beverages. There's a couple beer gardens. There's a ton of food vendors. I believe over 70 food vendors this year. But, you know, admission is free, except if you want to take part in all the eating and drinking.
Now, do you have to buy tickets to purchase your food, or are you actually exchanging cash as you step up to the booths?
No, the vendors are all cash, are card based.
Oh, so good.
They will help you with that. The beer garden, usually it's, you know, you get tickets and then you cash those in at the beer garden. But no, I mean, usually all the vendors are pretty good about having the cash option or the card option. So there should be no issue with that.
Now, a week from today, do I read this right? You're going to hold a song fest, Mr. Pierogi's Song Fest, on Saturday?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot of great entertainment over the three days.
Yeah.
A lot of great bands. A lot of great bands, polka and non-polka. But yes, on Saturday, that's the 25th of July right there, at 1 p.m. on the Oliver stage, I will be holding the Song Fest. It's been going on for a number of years. I got to mention Gail Kersalko. She's been a lot of hand. It's a lot of Pierogi parody songs. So we'll be out there singing some famous songs, but with a little Pierogi Fest theme to that. So I'll be out there, a Loopki guy, Miss Punchki, the Pieroguettes, and some others as well. We'll be
the Punchki
singing our
guy.
Out there. Yep, the Loopki guy is out there as well.
There is one act called the Elvis Diet that pops up a couple of times over the weekend. Do you know anything about the Elvis Diet?
You know what? I want to catch them because I've heard a lot of great things about them.
Really?
I have to see them live. So hopefully, hoping to get a chance to see them.
Yeah.
Do they sing while they're eating peanut butter or banana sandwiches?
You know what? Peanut butter and a jelly pierogi. I don't know.
Ooh.
You know,
there you go.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Out there for them, but there's a lot of interesting bands this year, and I'm
there's a long list. I mean, folks, there's music starts at 12:30 in the afternoon on Friday, and every half hour it looks like there's something that pops up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some of the names just tickle me, like the Grandpappy Polka.
I like Sergeant Sauerkraut's Polka Band.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Danny Donuts and Grandpappy will be performing. Hoosier Strings and Havarti.
They're very creative. I got to give them that. They're very creative.
And then there's a Beatles jam. And
now, I know there are pierogi eating contests, but there's a pierogi toss contest?
Yes. So Sunday, there is a pierogi toss, and I know it's in the afternoon there. I know they have to switch some times around there, but there's a pierogi toss, so you could grab a partner, and you toss the pierogi, and the last team remaining wins, as well as the pierogi eating contest, who could eat the most pierogi in one sitting. So that's a good time.
Do we know what is the record for the most pierogies eaten in one sitting?
Ooh, geez. I have to get the book of records out there. But there's some people out there that mean business out there.
Yeah, and, I bet.
They'll put those pierogi down. So, again, anybody's welcome to join. You sign up at the Whiting Chamber of Commerce, who have just been great this year putting this fest on. Every year, the Chamber of Commerce gathers together, and they just put this, it's an impressive undertaking.
Oh, it
three
is.
Days of
yeah.
this festival. So,
and legitimately, again, it gets bigger job. And bigger and bigger. This is, if you've never heard of this, it's a big honking deal. Trust
it
me.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way,
It is.
I am going to unmask Mr. Pierogi and reveal his secret identity of Tony Panic. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. You have so much fun at this each year, don't you?
I do. This is like Batman and Bruce Wayne. You just did a reveal there.
That's right.
So it's a fun time each year. It's going on my fourth fest year. Of course, Matt and Lucas did it for 25 years, and I'm honored and I'm proud to do it. For these last few years, again, my fourth year, but it's just a great time, you know, meeting a ton of folks, taking a lot of pictures. There's no unhappy faces at Pierogi Fest. It's just, again, about having a good time and celebrating the pierogi.
Yeah, and no empty bellies, that's for sure.
I have to ask, because if people go to our blog, they will see a picture of you in your Mr. Pierogi costume. How hot is that costume?
You know what? It's not too bad. Tina, our costume designer, she made it at least breathable, so it's not too bad. But you know what? If it's 95 degrees out there, everybody's hot.
Yeah.
So I can't. I can't just say it's me. It's everybody out there. But I'm hoping for some great weather. I think I don't want to be too soon to jump the gun here, but I think I see the 80s.
Yeah.
Hopefully it stays that way because that's perfect.
That's perfect. Good eating weather. And what I love about your costume is it's loose, so you could just eat pierogies for 3 days. And it just, you know, you wear your pants with elastic underneath your pierogi costume, and you're good for the weekend.
Very stretchy shorts.
That's right.
Yeah, very stretchy shorts.
Thank you, Mr. Pierogi. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And have fun next weekend, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that we don't deal with smoke and we don't deal with crazy hot temperatures, and you guys just bring in 300,000 people again. Thanks,
Hopefully,
Tony.
The Canadians keep it down up there, and we don't have smoke. And,
yeah,
it's a great 3 days. And I got to point out, too, the Pierogi Fest Parade, Friday at 7 p.m., July 24th. That really just, people love that parade. So, that kicks off a whole weekend of fun there.
Where does the parade happen?
Right down 119th Street in the Robertsdale section, again, but 119th Street is all the action. Whiting, Robertsdale, it's a lot of fun, a lot of good times, and I hopefully see everybody out there.
So once you park your car, wearing your comfortable shoes, just follow the crowd. You'll have a good time.
Follow the crowd.
Yeah.
Check out that website, as Steve says, for all the details about parking and whatnot.
Awesome.
It goes into much more detail.
Thank you, Mr. Pierogi. Be safe.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure to chat with you guys each year.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Tony. And again, you can check out pierogifest.net. And they have all the information. And really, if you've never heard of this, this is a big honking deal. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break. More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Time for some shout-outs. And let me start with some shout-outs from our blog. And if you haven't checked our blog out, we would really like it if you would. You go to stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd love it if you subscribe. There's no fee. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And we're always fascinated by some of the countries that are checking out our blog. And this week, the top 10, number one, the United States. Number two, Hong Kong, SAR, China. Number three, Belgium. Number four, Singapore. Number five, China. Number six, Germany. Number seven, Australia. Number eight, the United Kingdom. Number nine, Poland. And number 10 is Mexico.
Poland and Mexico are new this week.
Yeah. And some people commented on our blog. Gene Jacobson said, I'll be listening from Milwaukee on my Sea Crane portable radio and Sea Crane earphones so I don't wake up my husband. And Deb Tusick says, this sounds like a good show tonight. I wish we had a pierogi fest out by me.
Out in Sandwich.
And
well, they have bologna fest out there.
That's true, they do.
Yeah.
And Robin Aiken says, Steve and Johnny, sounds like another great show tonight. I'll be listening from Port Charlotte, Florida.
All right. Well, we just spoke of Whiting and Pierogi Fest, and our regular listeners on Saturday night are Rob and Amy checking in, looking forward to Pierogi Fest. George Clemens is a regular in Augusta, Georgia. Sherry Hanrahan is tuned in, and from Greendale, Wisconsin, Joan checks in tonight. Let's see. We've got Lake City, Michigan is listening in. Gary Stark in River Grove. Bing Besh in Winfield. A couple of folks were checking in about the movie, the Odyssey movie. Mm-hmm. And like me, thanks to Ron's review, they're like, I hadn't thought I wanted to go see it. Now I'm thinking I want to go see it. So that's interesting. In fact, one of our listeners said that Christopher Nolan shot more than 2 million feet of film to make that movie, which is pretty impressive. Janet from Pittsburgh and her sister Megan are visiting from Genoa and listening in tonight. A listener wanted to know why I'm not screaming at the beginning of the show. Because it would wear me out by the time I got my screams out. JW and Dolly Mink are checking in from Chesapeake, Virginia. Let's see here. A bunch of folks were checking in about various things that we've talked about. Let me roll through these. Gahana, Ohio. Mike Kachunian. former Evanston native, Bobby Danos. I mentioned Sandwich a moment ago. He's our buddy, a regular listener out in Sandwich. Greg Borgman is in Muskegon. Roger Camp is in Athens, Ohio. Karen Buckhalter is in Sugar Grove. Barb Larkin is in South Milwaukee. Chuck Snitchler, the best friend of this radio station and of this show, is listening in Valparaiso tonight. Our friend Anthony Urias used to be a regular on our show talking photography. He checks in tonight with a picture of the smoky skyline. Chuck Shearing is in Huntley. Eric Baum, speaking of pictures, wow.
Did you see the picture?
Yes.
He said he would be listening from Wells Beach, Maine on the WGN app. Maine was also affected with the wildfires from Quebec, Canada. The air was not as bad as Chicago, but the air looked like the Matt Damon movie, The Martian. The smoke made a beautiful sunset.
Ooh.
And he did a picture.
It's kind of scary looking.
It looks like something from Mars.
It's a big red sun. Yeah, you can see that if you go to our Facebook page and you click on the post about tonight's show. Pat Powers, our good friend, broadcaster extraordinaire, from, I think he's from Duncombe, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's from Iowa, and I think in his text today he said he got to visit with his third grade teacher, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Diana Erickson is in Batavia. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Carrie Hunt is in Ruskin, Florida. Peter Jukabowicz with a picture of pierogies. Wow. He's got a gorgeous plate of pierogies.
I'm getting seriously hungry for a gluten-free pierogi.
He's in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Susie Schimmel is in Glen Ellen. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Patty Barron is tuned in the Kettle Moraine, the State Forest near Whitewater, Wisconsin. Debbie Hardiman, speaking of Wisconsin, she's in Waukesha. Pam Wilk is listening in. Janet Gelderts in Gainesville, Florida. Laura Lampe is in the Villages of Florida. Fred Hussar, love the pierogi fest. He's in Lyons, Illinois. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Nancy Tomaszewski's in West Allis. Susan Powell's in Memphis. Beverly Goodall is checking in from Door County. Helen Thomas in Kenosha. Lynn Kinzer in San Antonio, Florida. And let's see, Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake, Margot Moore in Albuquerque, Tracy Douglas in Chicago, thank goodness. Mark Schroeder is in Neenah, Wisconsin. Jim Smith is in Owen, Wisconsin. Tom Murphy in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Marie Weiss is in Plainfield. Roy Phillips, Larry Mann is in Miami. Diane Vasquez is in Merivale. She's our graphics guru. And Cheryl Pupillo is in Southern Illinois. Nancy Hollins in Northbrook. Sandy McComas in Michigan City. And if I didn't get you this week, I'll get you next week, but we're up against the clock. So news is next right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Anytime we say that we are going to have the front pockets of the empty pockets in the studio with us, we start getting requests for Shocked by an Electrician.
Yes. Wait, really? Yes.
Really?
And I recall you were actually writing the song on our show one night when you said, we're thinking about going here and there, and you did a couple.
We definitely were. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere in our files, we have the audio of like the first time that you ever did any version
what
of
you
this
had written.
Ever.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The original challenge to ourselves was to write a song with only puns, where every single line is a pun, and two of the lines in those lyrics are not puns.
What are they instead?
But we got
they're
close.
They're like light metaphors?
No, it's just like
ba-da-bum.
Walking to get to the next one. Yeah.
That required
to take a walking rim shot with you.
I know. Yeah. I know. Thank you, sir.
I love that song. That's great.
By the way, if you're wondering who the heck these people are, one would be Erica Brett. The other would be Josh Solomon. That's you get to figure out who is who.
Yeah, that's right.
And they are the front pockets of the Empty Pockets, one of our all-time favorite ever groups.
Oh, it's one so good to be here with you guys.
I think, wasn't it Goldmine Magazine that said one of the most underrated bands of all time? And we are here to second and third that.
You guys are the best.
We're grateful.
You know, I was curious what time you guys were on the air, so I put it in Google, and you know how everything's AI now?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Google was like, I think they're on the air tonight at 9. Do you want to know the guests? And I was like, sure, Google. And it was like, well, we don't know the guests yet, but it's going to be this and that and maybe a musical guest. Do you want to know who the musical guest is? And I was like, all right, I'll let me know, Google. And it was like, well, it could be this or that or maybe the Empty Pockets. They're on a lot. And I was like, oh, great. Wow. Have the empty pockets been on like the most? And they're like, no, not even close on Steve and Johnny. And this is why I brought my Gibson today instead of my Larrabee.
I love this.
Because it was like, the empty pockets haven't been on the most. You know who's been on the most? Les Paul. Oh. That's who's talked to Steve and Johnny the most.
Darn like, good yes, company, friends.
Answer. And what a wonderful person to beat
Josh,
us.
That's the best use of AI I've ever heard.
It
absolutely
really is a good use of
I'm
AI.
Right there.
And it reminded me of your relationship with Les Paul, and I thought, I'm bringing the Gibson.
Yeah, I think the first time we actually met you guys in person, we
was
were
at the Sam Ash Music Store,
yes.
And we had just released our book.
And yes, you guys were
and the Les Paul traveling show was there, and you guys were on the stage
that's
performing.
True.
How many years ago was that? And Dean Richards was out there from Channel 9 doing a thing too.
Yeah, that was, we were just talking about Dean
Richards.
That was
like 16 years ago.
I think it was about 16 years ago, which is crazy.
Surely you jest.
No.
Surely. Don't call me Shirley.
I was just tickled by that. I was like, oh, that guest that they had more than
that.
Us.
I love that.
And I remember we walked into it was like a break between some of the things we were doing with Dean. We walked into Sam Ash and you guys were just sitting there hanging out and jamming. And we said, hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Sounds like us.
Local kids, too. And every time you've been on the show, I like to gift you a little something that is
too sweet.
Musically oriented. Yeah.
I'm blushing already, and I haven't even gotten it yet.
She's handy.
There you go.
You get to open that and describe what it is.
This is the coolest one yet. And also, I looked around my house.
There's a guitar neck.
Things I could gift to you.
Wooden guitar neck. I'm not sure what it is. Usually they double as something
these
else.
These are hardened spoons.
Kitchen tools.
Yeah.
Oh, am I cooking with guitar stuff?
Oh, my God. This is so cool. They have the neck and the head of a guitar.
Yeah.
But it's
if you get out of line, they're great little spanking
I would say
utensils.
These
utensils.
You know what? No, it doesn't say what they are on the box, so that's what they are now.
This is Fender style.
For Josh.
You can tell because of the left side. It's you have six on the left side. Just change the strings and none on the right. These are awesome. I love to cook.
These are so cool.
We
were given them, and I love them. Steve's brother gave them to us. I love them. So I said, you know what? I got to find out where these are from. And they age well as you use them because they're wood.
They're wood.
They're wood. And don't put them in the dishwasher.
You're not seeing the detail on the fretboards.
It's
of
like
these
accurate
kitchen tools.
It's really wild. It makes me laugh. So you've got the wooden fork and the spoon and the spatula.
Well, I'm cooking with that.
Every time we see you guys, we learn something new. I didn't know you're the cook in the family.
Erica's a pretty good
cook.
I'm
a good cook.
But Josh,
my mom has
11
brothers and sisters. And so we got like this great big family on my mom's side, the Halligans. And I like cooking my best cooking is like scaled up. Some people are like, oh, I can't cook for 12. And I'm like, I'm cooking for 80.
Oh,
let's go.
Wow.
That's my preferred cooking method.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, just a ton.
I always freak out because I don't have the right equipment. I'm like, I don't have a pot that's big enough for 25
people.
Oh,
we have so many stock pots. My parents were in the restaurant industry. My
that's
grandparents
right.
were in the food industry, the wholesale food industry.
Wasn't your dad up in Highland Park?
Yeah. They just sold the restaurant. We were really excited about it.
Oh.
But yeah, it's we're food people.
Yeah, I do like to cook.
I just realized at some point we need to introduce you two into two of our favorite people from the Panhandle, Jack and Jen, the only band we've ever known that did a song using a skillet for percussion.
Oh,
wow.
Very good.
Something to
be ambitious about. I like that idea.
And she had to make sure it was the right tone.
Tone.
Of course.
Oh, she tuned the skillets.
Yeah, maybe get a skillet a little bigger, a little smaller, get the right
I mean, you want the timbre to be correct for the song.
Yep.
Don't cut corners with your
that's
skillet.
Right.
That's
said,
wonderful.
You know?
That's the quote from the new album, don't cut corners with your skillet.
Wow. Well, you know what? You guys have new music we're going to share with our audience tonight.
Awesome.
And we've locked the door. You're going to stick around with us. And you said you brought the Gibson because of what AI said about Les Paul.
I did. Yes. I brought the Gibson today.
And then you had to grab a piece of twine so that you could tie the strap.
I'm
it's wonderfully old school.
I'm inspired by Noah Kahn. Apparently, his last name's pronounced con, which I found out 30 seconds ago.
We're very old and we don't know
these
things.
I'm going with his style, which is laissez-faire.
Very earthy.
Yeah, very earthy.
Rustic.
Yeah. Yeah. Big old piece of twine.
I'm proud that that was in our house, you know?
It's twine time.
It's twine time.
Ooh. Isn't that a song?
Alvin Cash and the Registers. It was a hit.
That's real?
Yes. It was a hit back in about late 50s, early 60s. A Chicago artist recorded at VJ or United. I forget
Alvin Cash and the Registers.
If he was making it up, we wouldn't know.
Okay.
Right? We'd have no idea.
I thought you were writing that in real time.
Jonathan, here is your assignment for a bump. Coming out of this break.
He's ready.
Alvin Cash and the Registers, Twine Time.
You got it. Okay. I'll look it up.
All right.
Thanks, bud.
Excellent.
That's good work.
We've got the Empty Pockets in studio with us. We've got a lot to talk about, so stay with us. Take a break, and we'll come right back with them here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was basically an instrumental that Alvin Cash got credited for, and he, if we got farther into the song, he would say, okay, you move this way, you move that way, and it was a local hit, and he got on American Bandstand.
Wow.
And he had a follow-up record,
so he's not
too.
A one-hit wonder, then?
No.
Wow.
Not with a song like that.
As
that
the kids say.
Bum, 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 bum,
that's
bum.
A bop,
yeah,
you know?
Cool. Yeah. With the organ coming in, that was very nice.
It was a nice groove.
Twine time, baby.
Mm-hmm. I do like that concept that you could have a sick instrumental going and then just kind of shout a few things over it, which I like. We're going to try that. Oh, yeah!
You know, we do this on our next album.
Twine time!
We go, woo!
You're right.
We missed the opportunity to add twine time, though.
Or something.
Speaking of your new album, so you've been in the studio doing that, putting it together?
We went to Abbey Road Studio, too.
Right. So everything in the album was recorded at Abbey?
Everything except for some of the vocals, which we recorded back at home. But every single instrument was recorded there.
Cool.
With no overdubs.
Yeah, we did a real old school. We did, you don't have to anymore because of all the digital things you can do. Mm-hmm. But we ended up getting as a band of four people and going in a room and recording. And that's what ended up on all of the songs. No overdubs on the instrumentals, which we weren't necessarily going to do. But as we got closer and we liked it more, we were like, this is going to be a cool...
Let's capture the moment,
you know?
Good. Let's like not add to it or obsess over it and just make it
be. Not that there's anything wrong with like a constructed album, which is how almost every single album's been made for the past 30 years or so. But this particular album is not constructed at all. So we're playing. In fact, I was just looking up the beats per minute of each song, and it has variance. You know, there's no click on anything. We just... play for better or for worse.
It's just the band in the Beatles' hallowed room.
I love that.
With the equipment that was there.
Yes, like I'm playing the organ that the Beatles played.
Wow.
And the keyboards that the Beatles played. Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have a title for the album?
The album is called Dear Billionaires.
Oh.
That's right.
Yep.
A little provocative, or maybe not provocative at all these days.
It's less and less provocative, seeming.
Exactly. Yeah.
You shared Dear Billionaires with us last time when you
were on.
That's right. We got a great video, you guys.
We've been working hard.
So what's your target date for the new CD to be released?
We're going to officially announce it in August, and we're going to, even though we just said it right now, and then we're going to put it out on October 23rd. But this Friday, we have the first song of it coming out.
Good. So. And we've got that tonight. We're going to be able to share some of that.
And whet their
appetite, right?
Love that,
But right now, is there anything you feel like sharing with us right now?
Yeah, do you want to do Bozeman?
Let's do that.
This is kind of how our album started. We'd like write about real life and how it combined. This we got stuck in Bozeman, Montana a couple years ago. And
for a long time, for days.
Yeah, like 5 days.
It kept increasing every day.
It's a cool town, though. So this is... what happened there?
Broken down in Bozeman on a Sunday afternoon. The ice cold Gallatin soothing our worries. The road to Salt Lake City won't have us now today. Maybe tomorrow evening. Maybe Tuesday morning. Bro, broken down in Bozeman. Though we can't complain, the valley, sunshine, and conifer trees. The road to Jackson won't have us now today, maybe tomorrow evening, maybe Tuesday morning, Golden Bough Wednesday, we're in Golden Bough Wednesday, out in New Terrace. Will we come this way again? Tough spots, but this one may not pull through. Up on the mountain pass, no belt, full tank of gas. The road home to Chicago won't have us now today. Oh, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, maybe Tuesday morning, Golden Bough Wednesday, we're in Golden Bough Wednesday, out in New Terrain, will we come this way again? Will we come this way again? If you don't mind, I recommend that we come this way again. Will we come this way again? Will we come this way again? If you don't mind, I recommend that we come this way again.
That is the classic case of taking lemons and turning it into lemonade, right?
Indeed. I like the sound of that.
Now, you didn't write that while you were broken down.
Yeah, we sure did.
You did?
Yeah, day two, day three. I have a kind of a
really?
Cool demo recording of it with the boys with Nate and Adam in the background. We were all staying at some Airbnb in the middle of Bozeman.
You're out on the porch. There's like a haystack in the background. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely is one of those things where it's like day three or four, I'd already written the song, and we're like, we're still here.
I guess that's going to be a hit.
Yeah, I love it. Oh my gosh. Broken down in Bozeman. To answer the question a listener asked, yes, these two are of four people that make up the Empty Pockets. We can't assume that everybody knows you because you've been on the show before. And yes, to answer another question, you guys are from Chicago.
Yes.
We sure
born
are.
Born and raised here.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we do have a full band, a four-piece. Adam Belasco is our drummer, and Nate Bellin is our bass player. They both got little babies at home, almost 1 year old.
Wow.
We missed a chance at the studio the other day. We had three almost 1 year olds. We should have done one of those basketball court crawl offs. I regret not.
I wanted
doing
to do
that.
A race. I suggested a race and I was met with derision.
Really?
Yeah, they're crawling and it's real cute.
Then there would be like tension among the guys. My baby's cuter,
et cetera.
You know.
You know, and Josh and I are married and we don't have kids, so like we've adopted those children as our like, you know, mm-hmm. we're aunt and uncle to those kids.
Right.
And so so I feel like I can do what I want with them.
Yeah.
You know, it is funny.
Put them on the floor.
I've
and
seen the
make
documentaries but of bands I love, but it really, and without us having kids, it really is a new era of a band when mm-hmm. there's
children when the band's progeny is involved and is around. It changes the whole vibe in a great way.
Like, that we've known each other in so many stages of life now.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. A kid backstage all the time is such a funny and special thing. I love that.
And Adam's kid is like a savant on the drums.
Really?
Yeah. He's really good. Eli's really good.
And how old is he?
He's like four, and he's really...
Three and a half?
He must be the best four-year-old drummer out there. send us your four-year-old
Let's
drummer.
I don't want to hear about David Foster's kid. In fact, I just want to know.
We don't need
have
a
you seen the video?
Yes, I have.
Really?
I mean, he's good, too.
What's he doing?
He's doing drums.
He's drumming.
And he's real good.
I wonder if he's as good as Eli.
Let's not compare.
Okay.
That's
good,
right.
Good idea.
Let the kids grow.
You're right.
This is what
Don't put that kind of pressure on them.
I'm
right?
an auntie, and I got to take care of my boys.
That's a good point. Yes. That's a good point.
We got Erica and Josh of the Empty Pockets. We'll get an update on what happened with the benefit for Will's Place coming up.
Yes.
We got new music. We got a whole bunch of stuff to cover with these folks. So,
and I think we're out of the news. We're going to bump back with a very cool thing that you guys just put up on your YouTube channel with our friend Howard Lee.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to bump back with that.
That sounds great.
Whole lot coming up, so please do stay with us right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, feeling all right, not feeling too good myself. That is the Empty Pockets, and we have the Front Pockets from the Empty Pockets, Erica and Josh in the studio with us, but share who the back pocket was singing the lead on that one.
We call it the Pinch Hits series, so pinch hitting there was the one and only Howard Levy.
Wow, from the Flecktones, y'all.
Truly one of the best, almost certainly the most innovative harmonica player in the world. Steve, you were saying off air, one of his big claims to fame is he plays, and it's kind of a funny phrase, he plays a diatonic harmonica in a chromatic way. And he invented...
He finds notes between...
Yeah. He invented notes. How to do that.
Yeah. Basically, he does what you can't do.
It's impossible. It's amazing. Yeah. It's mathematical. It's virtuosic. It's crazy.
It's funny, in playing that song, which is in C major, he's like, I wonder what harmonica I should play this song in. And we're kind of watching him decide. And he was deciding based on, like, the flavor each brought. Because he can play any key harmonica in any key he wants.
Yep.
Wow.
He's just like that.
How did that happen that he ended up in studio with you
just
guys?
Just luck. You know, you ask enough people. We're doing this series. Lynn Jordan, who did Concert for Will's Place, actually. Lynn Jordan has been on the series, and Joanna Connor. Howard's our third, and we have some really other cool guests that we're getting excited to announce for that. And it just like goes with our ethos. You know, we said we recorded our album without overdubs. We just bring people into our studio. Pick a song.
Literally pick a song.
Let's play it together.
We rehearsed it one time, and he said, all right, let's record it. And we did it.
And
that was
Howard's
it.
Howard's a perfect example of that ethos. Mm-hmm.
But who's singing lead on
that's
it?
Nate. That's Nate on
really?
The that's Nate on the bass singing the lead.
He's tearing it up.
He's
tearing
it
awesome.
Up.
Nate's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of the features of our band. It's really Nate and Erica and I could all maybe be a lead singer of a band, but we're all just in a band together.
Yeah,
that
it's nice.
Is really cool. And that's Howard and the Howard sound on harmonica there.
It's cool. I mean, I felt a little intimidated, and he was just so warm and delightful.
Yeah.
We had Joanna Connor, who's a like slide guitar player, is at Kings of Minds all the time.
She's a monster.
Monster.
The same series, and they're so different as players. Howard's this technician, you know, who can get 1,000 notes out of an instrument that's only supposed to have 7.
And she wails on an A.
Joanna is like the opposite. You know, she's whacking away this Les Paul.
But both of them walk in our studio and they lay it down. Like, we all are of that same mindset. You come in, we feed off each other, and then we catch it. We catch the flavor live and we put it out.
You know, it's funny, like, our musical mentality and vibe is human first. And I feel like I've been saying that way before, like, the AI craze.
Yeah.
But it's bigger and more important than ever. Like, it's human first. Like, I love a mistake, not for the fact that it's a mistake. You know what I mean? For the fact that it's a human thing. You
it's
hear
real.
Breathing.
But and I liked what you were saying earlier, that you recorded without using a click track.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to even the best musicians on the planet, reality is... You start out at one tempo, and you're probably going to wind up a little faster by the time you get to... The worst example of that is one of my favorite people, Jerry Lee Lewis, who would start out, and all of a sudden, by the end of the song, he's...
He's like internal clock, like, winds faster and faster.
Exactly. And he's not alone, but what's cool about those records, And those are old records, those Jerry Lee Lewis records, is you could like hear his heart beating, basically. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and as he gets more excited, the record gets a little fast. The Beatles did that. Buddy Holly did that. The Rolling Stones definitely do
that. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Joanna Connor. Wasn't she one of the people on your show, The Benefit for Will's Place?
Yeah.
How did that go? Tell us about that.
We have so much to talk about, guys.
Wow, so cool.
My brother, William, turned 25 recently. It's my brother who has disabilities. He doesn't talk. And so my mom started Will's Place, my aunt. We just went there for breakfast today.
We did.
Which
it's
is
been
right across
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yes.
It's right across from the Skokie Theater. They've expanded their menu a little bit. I had a vegetable scramble and a salad today. It employs 26 adults with disabilities right now. And to raise money for it and to keep running it, the band and I have put on Concert for Will's Place. We stole that name from Concert for George. And it's at North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. We just did our second one of those. We're already planning our third.
Star-studded event.
And this year it was the Empty Pockets and Friends, including my Aunt Deanna, who was awesome. Lynn Jordan. Mark Stone came in from New Orleans, a great player. Chad the Bird, who is a wonderful puppet. Steve Cochran hosted the whole thing. And, of course, Joanna Connor, who is the busiest musician when she's in Chicago. She went right to Kingston Mines.
She had like 19 sets that night. She was like, I'm going to come to your set and then I'll do 19 other sets after that. And we're like, all right.
But we raised over $50,000 for Will's Place.
Nice.
We had a
wonderful
full venue in Skokie on a very busy day. Like, remember Mulaney was like at Wrigley Field.
Well, that's right. It was a taste of Chicago. Yeah. There was a lot to contend with. But
the community came out.
Everyone came out.
Definitely WGN. Steve and Johnny listeners were there. Multiple people mentioned the show to me in the lobby. And it's just, we raised the money, which is great. But the entire staff, again, this year, so this is 26 adults over 22 years old with disabilities, have a hard time getting a job in a lot of different settings. The whole staff came on stage dressed up, and it felt like, I don't know, it felt like the Academy Awards of Will's Place
or something.
It was about more than money. It was about acknowledgement and togetherness and saying, you know, not everything's going right in the world, right? We couldn't breathe yesterday, and you know, we can make a difference together.
Yeah.
So it was super special, and Joanna just rocked it.
Oh,
she's the coolest. We had great women on stage: Joanna, Lynn, Erica.
It was fun.
I gotta say, having been honored to be a celebrity barista at Will's Place, there is a vibe in that place when you walk in. You just pick up on the fact that there are people that are so happy to be there. Because I got there early in the morning and some of the employees were just being dropped off by their parents.
Yeah.
And they just walk in so proud, you know, and they've got things to do. And I made the mistake of getting in the way of a couple of people who had things to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
One of those employees is like literally coming for your job. He interviewed us and it was the most thorough interview I've ever experienced in 20 years.
You're talking about Reed, who interviewed the artist both years. Fully recorded interviews, 23 years old. He's going to Marquette and working at Will's Place.
And he has a future in journalism, for real.
He shocked each artist with his research.
Including Al Stewart last year.
Including Al Stewart last year. That's finding these talents.
Where are the interviews? Where can we...
Reed is going to release his interviews. We'll post them on our website or on our socials at some point.
Because I think
he posted his last year.
He's like finding a platform for himself.
Yeah.
He's new in college.
But it was kind of funny because we've done a lot of interviews and obviously you guys know us and you do your research, but a lot of interviewers don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then they go,
Well,
what are you doing here?
Yeah. Tell us about yourself.
He was asking detailed questions about intimate lyrics within songs and how they relate to the state of the world. I mean, it was phenomenal.
But the concert for Will's Place, truly, it was fantastic. We expanded it a little. Like I said, we're already thinking about next year.
Well, we're real excited that the Skokie Theater has new owners. And so
that whole area of Skokie has got
Lincoln
so many
Avenue.
Cool things going on.
Yeah, the Skokie Theater's new owners. Because Northlight Theater up a little further north than that at North Shore has moved to Evanston. North Shore has two theaters to play with now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Westfield Old Orchard is looking fantastic.
Like,
I think Skokie is really in an awesome spot.
Happening.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, again, if you want to stop by Will's place, they have a wonderful menu. You can just stop by and get your coffee. You can get some, I could not believe the baked goods that were being made
really
right there
good.
In-house.
Really good. We're gonna try to get some gluten-free stuff going. Erica's gluten-free.
I was advocating for that today.
She's determined to get a little bit of gluten-free stuff going, but their baked goods are awesome.
They really are.
Yeah. Amazing breakfast and lunch. It's open Tuesday through Saturday. From 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Till 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, stop by. Get a cookie.
Yeah.
You know what there is new now? It's a soft serve machine, which has been very popular.
With toppings.
I bet. Yeah. So that's Will's Place, and that's on Lincoln Avenue and in Skokie, celebrating 3 years in business. And I remember when we first talked about the fact that this was a dream and it was going to happen.
We came on months and months before, and you guys helped us raise money. It's been a dream for almost 5 years, so it's pretty awesome that it's still there.
And I have an experience seeing Will working there, nonverbal. It's amazing what we can do with technology today because he can talk to you through the computer and take your order and ask you if you want cream and sugar in your coffee and all these good things. And you could just see the way the employees, just their body language says, you know what? I'm important here. I'm not just bagging groceries at Jewel.
Yeah.
I have a place.
Yeah, what I'm doing means something.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they carry themselves differently.
Very
it's
cool.
Nice.
And, you know, congratulations to your mom for making this happen, too, because your mom and aunt were just, this was a dream.
We're so proud, and it's such an awesome lesson, too, for all of us as we're watching our world change so much that it's not just disabilities. I mean, I know it's a little preachy, but it is what it is. Like, everyone needs to do something that means something.
Yeah.
And if we don't, then that's when you start feeling off and bad. And it's magical to watch at Will's Place.
Agreed.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to con you into doing whatever it is you want to do. If you want to play baseball, a little shuffleball, whatever you want to do.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're going to do the smart thing and shut up and let the front pockets of the empty pockets do what?
We're going to do a song called The 31st of June, which apparently is not a real date. I got that rhyme confused.
Wow.
Hello.
Girl.
Where did that come from?
What a treat to watch you sing that.
Thank you.
I'm so happy we've got Julian here doing the video because, folks, you got to see this girl when she's singing 31st of June.
I was thinking I should open my eyes, so I tried to open my eyes.
Oh, no. It was good. It was really good.
That was a workout.
I found myself thinking, where is she going? What are you thinking when you're singing like that? Because I know Josh is... He's all into the guitar, and that was great guitar work, too, by the way.
Well, Josh wrote this, and I think of all the crazy things that she's trying to get out of. Like, I'm thinking of, like...
What's with the spoon?
Yeah, what's the incident with the spoon?
I think we have
After
to leave that...
After the wooden
that,
spoons tonight, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, God. We have to leave that to the imagination, right?
I think of it like a family incident. You know, like, I'm famous for never wanting to go to anything, and then being happy I went. So, you know, that's kind of my
thing.
That's
funny. That's not what I think of when I sing that line, but great.
But I think of like a family.
That's much more PG.
You have like a rated R thing in your head. That's cool. I have more of like a borrowed kitchen utensil type of situation, and someone else is like, oh, it wasn't as good when you brought it back.
You know what? We are missing quite a bit of forks in our...
Right, exactly.
We're missing...
And Erica, everything we're missing in our house, this is not musical, this is in real life. Erica, and we live in a second floor apartment.
No one's taking anything.
Erica always thinks, somebody stole these forks.
Somebody stole it.
I don't really think that. I'm like, who stole our forks?
Time out. This sounds like Steve who says, someone moved our silverware.
See, this is the same thing.
Somebody did.
Somebody did.
Pointing to him.
Yes. Nobody's pointing at anyone in this booth right now.
That's not happening.
Nobody's pointing at the person.
I look at Steve and I say, I have more important things to do than move the silverware. And he's standing in the middle of the kitchen floor, but where is it?
The finger is out.
Yes.
You both are pointing.
Don't have a large kitchen.
Erica and I are both pointing at the culprits.
It's like, I didn't lose those spoons.
Yep.
You did something weird with those spoons, dude.
And he says, you were in here moving them. I go, oh my gosh. Well, I've got more important things to do.
You guys, one time I found the remote in the refrigerator. And it was not.
Was me. I think that was me. I think I did. We were looking for the remote, and finally we found it in the refrigerator, and I just think I got confused. I don't know what
Josh
happened.
Josh is a phone walker talker. In fact, if you go in the GPS by our office.
You mean like a Google Earth?
I mean the Google Earth. You can find him. Like he was captured multiple times on the phone in the radius of our studio.
I am.
Are you guys familiar with the Family Circus cartoon? The one panel cartoon when Billy sets out, he's going to go from A to B, but he goes left, right.
Yeah, that's me.
The whole panel is just a circuitous route that little Billy takes.
That's me.
So
that's
Josh is like on the phone.
And that's Johnny.
He's remoting.
Josh.
Yep.
And he's that. And he's taking something out and he's putting something back in.
Erica,
and,
you and I need to talk.
Okay. We'll have a therapy session after share. This.
Yes.
You guys need help.
We need help. We need it.
We're going to take a break for news. Eric and Josh of the MC Podcast with us in the studio. They got a new album coming out later this year. You'll hear more about that. We got new music. Woo. A whole lot more. As we said, we locked the doors here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I could be wrong, but I believe you have just heard the world premiere.
Premiere.
Mm-hmm. It sounds good
yes,
on the radio.
Sir.
Of the brand new
Empty Pocket song, Serrated. Tell me about the title. Well, I love that, but where did that come from?
Yeah, we're kind of into like nonsense poetry. I think it just means who cares anymore. Let's just cut it up.
Everything's messed up. Let's get down and dirty with it.
So yep. That one is released this coming Friday.
Coming out Friday. It's got a music video that goes with it. That's at Abbey Road. You know what's cool about
the music video is set at the Hideout.
The music video is at the Hideout, so it's London meets Chicago. We had such a good time recording it that I'm just excited to share it. And you know, we're old enough now to not have delusions of grandeur, which is sort of nice. You know, I'm very happy with our.
But if grandeur comes knocking at the door,
sure,
you'll take
it. I'm turning grandeur down.
Hello, grandeur. You know, no big deal.
Here. We're the Empty Pockets. We know what our career is, and I'm so excited to release it in just a get it out into the world kind of.
Yeah.
So it's being released Friday. Where will people be able to buy it Friday?
Anywhere you buy digital music or stream digital music, Apple, Pandora, Amazon, Spotify, Tidal.
The video will be on YouTube. I love the way it turned out. We had a local guy come and shoot it for us.
Yeah.
Not a lot of frills, this band.
We're great artists worked on it. Joey Scotch filmed it, and Daniel McCormick produced it. We had a great crew in London. I mean, this studio we recorded at, obviously the Beatles, but like all sorts of amazing music is made there. It just like feels good.
Like I was using Billy Preston's organ.
Yeah.
Like that's
cool
nuts.
Stuff.
That's a good song. I enjoyed hearing it on the radio with my headphones.
Yeah,
thank
you.
That was great.
And not surprisingly, your harmony is just
it's spot on.
You have such a unique, wonderful harmony.
Thank you.
And that's 1959 Telefunkins in Abbey Road. We're singing at the same time.
Live vocals.
Very live. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds cool.
Yeah, that's another no overdubs.
I'm listening to us sing, and I think we both sing nice, but we don't sing like totally rock, you know? So it's kind of a unique sound.
Oh, it is a unique sound, yeah. And your harmony is very unique. I think we often say it's kind of brotherly, like they say that.
Well, I do love the Everly
family.
Brothers. That's my favorite of the harmonies, yes.
And we had Thresher Shiver, remember?
Thresher Shiver. Do you
that
remember
was a duet.
Thresher Shiver?
Uh-uh. A country duet.
Yeah.
And their desire was to sound like the Everly Brothers.
That's very cool.
And they said, but we're not related. So that's why it's really amazing.
Yeah, that part's all Erica's design for us. It's so much about vowels, and she's very particular with vowels. And being like, why are you pronouncing that word like that? And I won't even know I'm doing it. And she'll be like, you got to soften that A or widen that O. It's like very specific, cool stuff that Erica notices.
But we love to sing together.
Yeah,
so it always works.
It comes through.
Yeah.
Well, and bringing it all full circle. So you recorded that at Abbey Road.
Yep.
And the Beatles originally were trying to do an Everly Brothers kind of harmony thing. If you listen to their early records, they were trying to do the Everly Brothers.
100%.
And the day we recorded it was like October something. Remember we looked it up and it was like the I Feel Fine sessions.
60 years
to the day.
Wow.
In the same studio.
It was so cool.
We were like, well, this could be worse.
Yeah.
Well, a listener, speaking of things being worse, listener asked about your Grizzly Deadly Women songs.
I love
because
that.
A couple of visits back, you said, I've been writing these songs about these women in history dark, dark women in history.
It's my dream request. Do you know the movie That Thing You Do, where they shout, play That Thing You Do, and the band goes, has our fame preceded us? My version of that is like, play your grisly women are murdering
your murder
someone.
And wait, we had to be like, wait, which one?
Which one?
You know, so which is...
So now you tell me off the air, when I read the text to you, you tell me off the air, you've got another...
Yeah.
Grizzly, dark, killing woman song.
Erica sends me a strange story every once in a while, a news article.
I'm feeding him for song ideas.
This is a real story about a woman named Dolly. She eventually was known as the Queen of L.A.
But she started in Milwaukee.
This is a true American story. It happened in the late 19th century. The Queen of L.A. is what we call it.
Wow. Did everybody clock what happens? Because I would love to tell you.
Tell us.
Please.
Dolly's in Milwaukee, and a nice young man wants to fix her washing machine.
True story.
And he is not the first man that she has fallen in love with of this age group, but she takes him, and she keeps him in the attic. Like, he agrees to stay as her secret lover in the attic in Milwaukee. And this goes on for years, and she has other paramours, and the whole thing goes on. Husband gets a new job in L.A. She secretly moves the young paramour to the next attic in Los Angeles and has other affairs on the side. And eventually, the husband gets wise. Otto gets wise. There's a shoot. There's a shot.
And Dolly, I believe from my research, does not suffer consequences from it.
Wow.
At all, because Otto shoots.
Please tell me you're going to do a black and white video.
We really want to. We really have to.
We've like thought about this a lot.
Like a whole film noir.
Yes,
thing.
Of course.
Have you ever seen Drunk History? Have you ever seen that show?
Yes.
I want to film it just like that.
But we need a budget. So if anyone's listening and you're passionate about black and white film.
Or if you're a really good filmmaker in college, you want to make
a project. We're open.
Wow. But that was good stuff. Now, that's going to be on the new album,
that's
too?
That's on the new album. Yeah.
Whew. All right, that Dolly scares the daylight too. And you've got to love the fact that listeners go, I want to hear a bad woman song.
People want to hear it. People want to hear it.
Yes.
What's great is that she's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
She's a modern woman. It's like 1880s or
sneaky,
something.
Sneaky, sneaky son of a gun.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Josh and Erica from The Empty Pockets. And by the way, you can follow The Empty Pockets online. They're very active online. So do that and you can find out what they're up to. But we will get back with them after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We have only a few minutes left with Josh and Erica, the front pockets of The Empty Pockets, and we're going to con them into what would you like to do?
Let's do an old one.
We're going to do an old one. We've been talking about our new album. It's got 10 tracks on it. We wrote 9 of them, but the brilliant... this is Billie Holiday, right?
Mm-hmm. Who wrote and this Arthur song? Herzog Jr.
And Arthur Herzog Jr. wrote this song. Name checks The Empty Pockets in it, even though it was written a long time before our band existed. But I like to think it's about a...
Erica, that was fabulous.
You don't know this. That is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Me too.
You guys have never done that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I was afraid you were going to look at me and see me crying. No, don't look over here.
You know, it's just so much what about the times, even though it's almost 100 years old, but about the times. I mean, I love this line, rich relations give crust of bread and such.
But, you may help yourself, but don't take too much.
Yeah.
And of course, it says our name in it.
Yeah. Wow.
You're saying that great, Ari. That's lovely.
That's wonderful.
I'm glad we got that on video, too.
Yeah.
I caught you at the end. I didn't know what was happening, but I caught you. I caught you.
Wow.
We have that on the album, so that is on the new album, too.
Oh,
it's actually it's probably the best track on the album. That master came back, and the whole band was like, what did Erica do on this? And Erica has no idea still. Like, you're telling her she sounds good. She has no idea. Because she was like, does my voice sound okay on that song? The whole band was like,
that's why we love
her. Did you listen to it? What are you talking about?
With all the original stuff you have, what made you decide to do that? I mean, that is, it's special.
I have my husband to thank for me singing that song. About 20 years ago, my choir director from Glenbrook North High School was retiring. And she's very special to me. Her name is Judy Moe. She won the Apple Award for teaching, and she's an amazing educator. And I was performing. I was asked to perform at her retirement party. And I picked a couple songs, and Josh said, No.
Oh, right. We had just met.
Josh, I had just met, and we had just met, and I was falling in love with you. You were hopefully
we
falling
were
in love with me.
Collaborating a lot, and Erica was like, should I do this song? Should I do this song? And I was like, what do you want it to be like? She's like, I want people to be like, oh, Erica's a good singer and has this connection, and I it's one of my favorite songs always, Steve. And I was like, no, do this song. It's God Bless the Child.
And I'm a big standards girl. Like, I'm an Ella
but
fanatic,
didn't know it really well.
But I didn't know it very well, and I sang it, and I was like, this is my song.
Yeah. It might be the best bridge of all time. That is a crazy good bridge. Mm. Unbelievable.
I have to sneak this question, and the listener wants to know, would you guys ever consider doing house parties?
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Okay.
How do people reach out?
We're the Empty Pockets, so we're at theemptypockets.com. Everything's the Empty Pockets. Like, if you reach this on Instagram, it'd be at the Empty Pockets, or you'd email me. It'd just be like, I'm Josh. So that's Josh@theemptypockets.com.
Can I have you just come to our house and do that song?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Just stop by.
Anything for you, literally.
Wow. I love everything you do.
You guys.
I
love the fact that as long as we've known you, every time you're in the studio, you surprise us with something.
That's so
was
wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Incredible.
I love we've never played that for you guys. That's perfect. Yeah. And it ended up on this album. It's our eighth album.
And we've been doing it for years.
And
your eighth album.
It's our eighth album. And because it ended up more and more about income inequality. I mean, our whole band name is The Empty Pocket, so it's not like a super shock. But it ended up more and more about income inequality. And that song is like the song.
It's perfect.
About income inequality for me. That, I mean, says it all.
It says so much.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm going to warn you, when the album is officially released, you have to be back.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Studio.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll have a party.
We need to. We need to.
We'll have champagne. We'll do it upright.
We'll have champagne and treats.
We're going to have champagne?
Yes.
And gluten-free treats for everyone.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay.
This is the best party ever.
Well, take your walking chocolate chip cookie with you.
Woo!
And thank you guys. Thank you so much. And Josh, thanks for bringing in that Gibson.
Oh, my pleasure.
Real quick. Your next gig is where and when?
In Chicago. We haven't quite announced it yet, but we're going to be at Garcia's on October 27th. Really excited to bring the whole album to Chicago that day.
Be right around the release of
that. Yeah, we'll probably talk to you right before that.
Good.
I'm sure, and push that again.
Yeah,
but listen to Serrated on Friday. It's out Friday.
And you can pre-save it. You can find that link in any of our socials. Yeah.
So follow them at theemptypockets.com.
Please do.
Very active on social media, too. Thank you, guys. We love you.
Thank
you.
And I know the boss was listening saying, we're not paying them for this. They had too much fun on the radio.
That's right.
Doc's there paid.
And your point is?
See, we get down to that pay thing, right?
Exactly. It always comes back there.
Here we are again.
News is next right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, if you haven't figured out by now, anytime you hear something a little unusual, it probably means that we're going to be talking about all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide. That would be Tom Appel. And this is one of Tom's tunes. And Tom, what is our Tom's cartoons theme for the night?
Caution, the drummer is in charge.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay. And that was who and what?
Yeah, so we've got four cuts tonight from albums that were by the drummers themselves, and that was Art Blakey, and that's off his that was a single from 1957 called Nika's Tempo.
And I wonder who Nika was.
Yeah. Art Blakey. Okay.
Well, can we start right off, because there's something that we were talking about a little bit earlier, and it has been on everybody's mind in one way or another this week. With the problems we've had with smoke and air, and there was one horrible story about that we'll get to in a second, but a lot of experts, quote, have been recommending, okay, well, in this weather, you need to put your air on recycle if you're in your car. Do you really need to do that, and what happens if and when you do that?
Basically, you're drawing less air from the outside. And the way that modern cars are designed, you're not going to go 100%. It's not safe. So you're just drawing less air from the outside. So it used to be when you drove through Gary, Indiana, you you didn't recirculate, so yeah. You didn't smell the steel mills. I'm glad they don't smell like that anymore. But you may not have to do that anyway, because the air filtration, the cabin filtration systems, are so much better than they used to be. And as a reminder, you do need to replace that filter every now and then. They're not very expensive. Sometimes you can just do it yourself. It's often located in a little port in the glove box, or sometimes it's on the firewall under the hood. But you want to replace those for situations like this. And, yeah, I noticed that driving around inside a car. Now, granted, I was driving a new test car. I could not smell the smoke on Thursday.
And did you have your car on recycle or not?
I let the car do what the car was doing. So I think it recycled between the two.
Okay. And how long has it been that we've been able to utilize this recycle function?
It recirculate, it's the same as recycle, right?
Yeah. Gosh, that's been around for, commonly around for maybe 25, 30 years now. It depends on the car and the manufacturer. And I have a sense, looking back, that Japanese car companies did it first.
And because we've heard from some people saying, okay, if you do that, doesn't it kind of cause your windows to start fogging up? Aren't you going to get a little more humidity inside the car? So what is, how long should you do that? Or as you say, you don't, with some of the more modern cars, you may not need to just let the car do what it thinks it needs to do.
Yeah, it's kind of rare in the summer because you're cooling the air. And when you do that, some of the moisture drops out of it anyway. But you will run into that crazy situation sometimes in the summer where your windows start to fog out. And it's just because it's so humid. And again, you want to toggle, I guess, between the two. But eventually, if you are just recirculating air in the cabin, especially if there's more than one person and you're breathing, then the air is going to get humid inside anyway. So you kind of got to play with both, or maybe even roll down the windows for a moment if that's not impractical.
So we mentioned that we were going to talk about this at the start of the show, and a listener texted and said, well, they have a filter in their car and wanted to know, can you just go into an auto parts store and buy your filter? Or do, because based on the text, I got the impression that the dealership was saying, oh, no, no, you have to buy it through us. We have to install it. You don't want to go there. So,
and doesn't some of that depend on the individual manufacturer and how specific the filter is to that car?
And wouldn't the manual tell you if you could change it?
Yeah. Mostly they want the dealer to do this kind of routine work. It's just a little more revenue for the dealer. But the fact is, it's usually really easy to do. And my wife went to get a filter for her car. She went to AutoZone, paid $30 for the filter. She asked the guy behind the counter where it went. He went outside and just installed it for her for free. It was right there under the hood in the firewall. It was very easy to do.
How often should you change your filters, and how do you know? Is it as simple as looking at your air conditioning filter? If it's dirty, you change it? I mean, how do you know?
Well, no, we do our air conditioner filter every month.
Right, but I mean, you can also see if, that there is some crud on it, so it probably needs to be changed. Is that the same thing with a car filter?
Yeah, and there's a schedule, too. If you check your owner's manual, there's actually a schedule for the cabin air filter. However, all of our filters got a little dirtier in the Chicagoland area last week, so that might accelerate the turnaround. So if you want to play it safe and just replace it more often, it's not so expensive that you shouldn't do that.
Okay, now I'm going to, unless you want to jump in with something, I was going to segue a little bit to this horrible story.
Well, actually, we should take a break because this story deserves some attention. This is a story of a grandma with her grandkids in the car, and it's just a tragic, heartbreaking story. It should never, ever happen, and there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and so Tom agreed that we could talk about it tonight. So we'll take a break talking about cars, and got a couple questions coming in for Tom at 312-981-7200. You can text those to us. Tom joins us twice a month here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And the cartoon's theme for tonight is The Drummer is in Charge. And who was that and what was that?
That was Sweet Georgia Brown. People may have recognized that by Joe Jones off his 1958 album, The Joe Jones Trio.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. And for people who wonder, well, you're talking cars, so what's with this cartoons thing? These are different songs and different genres of music that Tom uses to test sound systems mm-hmm. in different vehicles.
And this week happens to be Caution. The drummer is in charge. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the Harlem Globetrotters anytime I hear Sweet Georgia
oh, yeah.
Brown. That's the image in my head.
Yep.
And yep. it makes me smile.
Yep.
Okay. The flip side of that is this really, really sad story out of Toledo, Ohio. A grandma with four children in the car with her. The presence of carbon monoxide was confirmed in the parked vehicle where five people were found unresponsive. And when the story first broke, two of the grandchildren had passed, as did the grandmother. Mm-hmm. Today I checked, a third child has passed. And the fourth had been taken off life support today. I mean, this is just so sad.
And we should clarify, to the best of my knowledge, because some people are saying, oh, well, they were in the garage. No, this car was parked outside and...
in a lot.
And Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, isn't this part of a recall with this particular vehicle? What can you share with us?
Well, they were in a Ford Explorer, right, Tom?
They were in a Ford Explorer, and the Ford Explorer was, in fact, investigated for... carbon monoxide in the cabin, and 6,500 different vehicles were evaluated by the government, and it was determined that there was not actually a problem with those vehicles. Now, this is where this gets interesting. However, what was determined as well was that police vehicles, vehicles that had been in police fleets or were actively in police fleets, had more carbon monoxide in the cabin than other vehicles.
Mm.
And that's interesting for a bunch of reasons and could explain ultimately what happened here. And it seems that the upfitting that is done to police vehicles involves drilling that would, in fact, compromise the car's ability to keep carbon monoxide out of the cabin. And it's possible that this vehicle that we're talking about right now was a used police vehicle purchased at auction that had a fairly compromised, you know, cabin area.
How sad.
Because equipment had been removed from it.
Now is part of this equipment change because since it's a police vehicle, they're doing things to make it more more stable or able to handle higher speeds or unusual turns and stuff?
Yeah, there's sometimes suspension stuff that is added after the fact. I'm sure the stuff that's added at the factory, probably not a problem. But the other interesting thing, too, is the cage has to be braced in the ceiling and in the floor. And that does involve penetrating both of those structures to get screws or fasteners down into the car. So that's another situation where what was once airtight might no longer be so.
So, again, Grandma had pulled over because they had a flat tire, and it was hot, so they stayed in the car with the car running, with the AC running, and had called for help. So when help arrived, they found the unresponsive five people, four children and Grandma, in the car. And, I just can't even wrap my mind around how horrible this is because...
No.
We all know you don't sit in the garage with the door closed and run the car. You're sitting in a lot waiting for someone to come and help you, and it's hot outside. Yes, I'm going to sit there with my AC on. Now, the question of whether or not their car had been compromised, I think that's still up in the air, right, Tom? We don't know that for a fact.
We don't know anything yet, but I suspect that's what we're going to learn. One of the facts I did dig up is that accidental carbon monoxide poisonings that lead to death in cars that are parked outside are shockingly rare, perhaps between 10 and 50 a year. Now, when they're parked inside, the numbers rise, and intentional suicides and things like that obviously raise the number, but it is very low.
Why can't we have
cars parked outside?
With all the technology we have in cars, why can't we have an alarm in the car that tells us if carbon monoxide is in the cabin?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those. With the technology we have that will tell you if someone is drunk or not.
Or how about...
And they can smell your breath, so why wouldn't they be able to smell the carbon monoxide?
But we have a carbon monoxide detector in our house.
Right,
And you have a car. I know a lot of people complain about, my car tells me that I need to stop and get coffee because I've been driving too long. Yeah. Well, heck... Why couldn't we put some little doodad in there that says, wait, 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 you need to open your windows? And,
well, also, there is the technology on some vehicles now where if it starts raining, the windows will go up or down. So the point is, they have the technology that should allow you to, oops, carbon monoxide, windows down, alarm.
Oh, man. This is just...
Yeah, I think it's just a very low priority at this point. And one of the interesting facts about this is there are no laws about interior air quality.
Really?
On the books. Huh. Yeah. There are lots and lots of laws about the handling of exhaust fumes and the handling of air that comes through the HVAC system. So that's what's being regulated, which is interesting, I think.
Wow. So we were talking about the recycle, recirculation button on your car. And a 608 area code says, I drove a semi-tractor, and we had a warning. If the recirculation was on too long, we would get stale air and become sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, now that,
and
I've
heard that
smart.
Before. Yeah.
That is a smart use of technology to say, you don't want to keep your windows up. And then,
in fact, I could be wrong, but I think I'm going to look at our older car manual when we go home tonight. But I think there is something in the manual that says exactly that.
Yeah. This a horrible story out of Toledo. I read a couple of, news stories about it. And of course, online, you get comments. And I couldn't believe the number of people that say, in comments, well, you should never drive with your air conditioning on without a window open. I've never opened a window when I'm driving with my AC.
I've never heard that.
No. And they were like chastising people. You fools, don't you know if you have your AC on, you have to open a window? No.
Some people just live to chastise other people on social media.
And there is no widespread precedent for any of this. What happened here was absolutely tragic. We may learn that the exhaust system was compromised, and we may learn that it's very easy, and maybe this ends up in some sort of legislation that becomes law, to measure the CO2, I'm sorry, the CO in a car. I mean, it may come to that. It wouldn't be something very expensive. Well, but at this point in time, it's been rare.
Yeah, yeah. 630 area code said, excellent idea. What about a combo CO detector and thermometer with both triggering the windows to open after a 30 or 60 second warning? We have the technology. We can make that happen. And you know what? I've got to say, if I'm a police officer and I hear what you're saying, Tom, I'm going to ask why I have to have a vehicle that's compromised, because that's also scary, because they often are sitting around idling in their vehicles with the windows closed.
Wouldn't you think with all of the computer technology that they use to test things that if they're going to make these kind of modifications, they would have the computer technology that says, okay, now if you do this, you need to make sure that the Framus is completely sealed before you put the widget in.
Yeah. Those are the technical terms for it, too.
Yes.
That story out of Toledo makes me mad and sad.
Absolutely.
Because it just should not have happened. She did. How many times have you had something happen with your car? A flat tire like they had, and you pull over and you're waiting for assistance. And
they weren't doing anything wrong.
Exactly. They were not doing anything wrong. They did not bring this on themselves. And it just... It's hard to wrap my mind around the loss that this family has experienced.
It's very unfair.
Yeah, really.
We're going to have to break for news in a second. But before we do, for people that may be new to this, Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide. So the blatant plug light just started flashing. Tell us about Consumer Guide.
Oh, yeah. Check us out, consumerguide.com. All my new car reviews live there. I do some fun stuff. I just did some stuff. I just wrote a story about Monarch, a short-lived brand up in Canada that Ford dealers used to carry. There's some pictures there that I think people will find interesting. Plus, there's the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. This week, our guest was named Bodie Grimm, and he's the host of the Kilowatt podcast, and he had some interesting and very good news about electric battery vehicle life.
I have to tell you that when I heard Bodie Grimm on your show Tuesday, I was like, that may be one of the coolest names ever. Bodie Grimm.
Yep.
That is a badass name, I'm telling you.
See, I see some sort of a, like a goth western.
He's a cowboy, yes.
Yeah.
He's a tough cowboy with a name like Bodie Grimm. You do not mess with him. And yet he sounds like just a mild-mannered dude. Who knew his stuff, as Tom
does.
And Tom, we got a bunch of questions. I'm going to send those to you so we can roll through them on the other side of our news update here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You can tell by that music that we're talking about all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. That's one of Tom's car tunes. And tonight's theme is the drummer is in charge.
You've got to say caution. The drummer is in charge.
That's true.
Caution.
Caution.
And that was?
That was Max Roach. Max Roach. The song was Billy's Bounce off the album The Max Roach Four Plays Charlie Parker from 1958.
And may I say that I worked 2 weeks with Mr. Roach.
What?
2 weeks, yes, at Rick's Cafe Americaine, the jazz club in Chicago. I was a cocktail waitress, and he was the entertainment. And we had standing room only for those 2 weeks that he was there, which meant, ching, ching, good money. So thank you, Max Roach.
Wow, did you get to talk to him much?
Oh, sure, because they would feed the staff, which included the musician that was performing, because they were staying in the hotel. So they would come downstairs at 5 o'clock before the club opened up, and we would all eat together and talk. And as I've told you many times, sadly, we didn't have the internet then, so I wasn't really in touch with who these people were that I was working with. I just knew that they were old guys that brought in a lot of fans, and I thought, well, this is cool. And
so at this point, you would have been about how old?
I was only 20, because when they found out it was my 21st birthday, they said, what? That's against the law. So, yeah. So that was a while back. But he was, I clearly recall, Clark Terry was another one that brought in crowds of people, just wonderful, like standing room only in on a Wednesday night, which when you are relying on your tips, because we only got $1.40 an hour, you rely on your tips. That was really exciting. So thank you for playing Mr. Max Roach tonight.
I just bought a Clark Terry album.
Did you really? Well, he was he was a super guy.
It was like
guy.
A reunion album from a bunch of guys, and it's very good.
I remembered him because I'd seen him on the Johnny Carson show. So I was like, ooh, he's a star. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that these other guys like Red Norvo and all these other guys were also stars, big names. See how life would have been so much more interesting if we had the internet 50, 60 years ago. We had a couple questions for you, Tom. Can we roll through some
sure.
of those? All right.
Yeah.
So a listener from 608 area code had a question about whether or not he should wait on the GM, the 2027 GM 5.7 V8 engine. And what do you know about it?
Well, you wouldn't just be waiting for the engine. You'd be waiting for a complete redesign of the Silverado. Or the GMC Sierra. So both those vehicles are the light-duty version, the 1500 version, redesigned and completely for 2027, and they're getting new engines. So your caller is asking the right questions. What used to be the base V8, the 5.3, has been bumped up to a 5.7, and what used to be the 6.2 is going to become a 6.6. Interesting stuff here. Those are heritage numbers for General Motors. That makes them now a 350 and a 400, kind of classic GM numbers, although I'm probably the only one old enough to care or think that's cool. Those engines promise to be really good, but I'm thinking there are going to be really good deals coming up on the 2026 Silverado and Sierra. So you're going to want to pay attention for those, because there is nothing wrong with the old engines. These new ones are going to be stronger and maybe slightly more efficient, but I wouldn't pass on a good deal.
Yeah.
But isn't this kind of a major thing for GM, because GM had been, for quite some time, aiming at all electrification? But yes. Now they've decided, you know, there's still a serious market for some of these ICE engines, so we're going to keep doing that too.
They did a little bit of cutting bait that they had to decide to do fairly early in this EV process, because this a new engine family takes a little while to develop. So they did do this. They did develop a new gasoline engine family, which they did not intend to do, to your point, Steve, but here it is. And that's going to sustain them in the Silverado and the Sierra for years to come.
Didn't you do a segment on your podcast about electric vehicles and where we are today and the future?
We did, yeah. And it's one of the things we mentioned Bodie Grimm with Kilowatt. Mm-hmm. One of the things we really talked about, and we're on a slow burn now. Things aren't as bad as we thought they might get, right? September last year, we saw that, well, we witnessed the end of the federal tax credits, the $7,500 tax credit. Sales plummeted immediately after that, but they've bounced back to about 6% of all sales, with Toyota and Hyundai doing very well with electric vehicles now, and General Motors doing pretty well with them as well. So we'll see what happens. There's used cars hitting the market now. People are starting to drive them. People are becoming familiar with them. So if you're one of the people that believes we rushed this process early on, maybe now is the get acquainted process that we needed.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Again, you talk at great length on last week's podcast, and people can still access that, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All 335 episodes can be downloaded almost anywhere.
Oh.
In fact, blatant plug for people who want to check out your Car Stuff podcast, where do they find it, and when are the new podcasts released?
Oh, thanks for asking. The Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast is brand new every Tuesday morning. And we never miss a day, so it's always up there. It's reliable. And you can download it anywhere. Most people do it on Apple. And if you do it on Apple, please leave us a review. Helps a lot. Show's about an hour long. And you might like the bumper music. I'm just saying.
Yes.
<Yep. laughs> And you might like the announcers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
They may seem familiar. Mm-hmm.
Because after all, we are your radio parents.
That's right.
872 area code, who happens to be a car buff. I know this because I can scroll back and see some of his earlier text where he said he treated himself to a retirement gift after 50 years wanting a 76 Eldorado convertible. He got one and it only has 80,000 or is that 8,000? 8,000 original miles.
Wow.
And you got a picture up here, which is pretty cool. But he also texted tonight to say they're dropping the 6.2 due to many owners experiencing major engine failures.
Yeah, that is the engine. Very similar problem to what Toyota's having with its 3.4-liter turbocharged V6 that is the engine from their pickup trucks. The 6.2 has experienced similar problems where it seems like there are metal shavings from the time of manufacturing that is compromising these engines. And actually, one of the things that General Motors wants to do is now add a heavier oil to the vehicles. And some owner groups are starting to push back because that will compromise fuel economy. So it's kind of a mess for GM. This is not the most popular engine in the truck, but there's enough out there that replacing them would be an absolute nightmare.
Hmm. Wow. 847 area code says about the Nissan Versa. Has it been discontinued? Yeah. And if so, why?
They built the last one back in May, and it was discontinued because of tariffs. The Versa was built in Mexico in I think it's called Aguas Caliente.
Mm-hmm.
My Spanish isn't good, but there's a factory down there that they were bringing in the Kicks and the Versa from, and I think the Sentra at some point too. But these very affordable vehicles were coming in from Mexico, and it just the Versa became undoable for them. It was actually under the last car under 20 grand.
Oh,
sold
wow.
in the U.S. Yeah, it was a great car.
Speaking of Nissan, what's the latest with the Nissan Honda? Are they going to merge? Is one going to take over the other? What's the deal with that?
So apparently after they had a duel and slapped each other in the face and said they would never merge with each other, they're talking about it again. So we'll see if this is a full merger again or just some cooperation on certain platforms. But they were talking about actually joining forces in a full corporate merger. And then the Nissan folks learned that they were supposed to be the subordinate organization, and they were not having it. So
that's a heck of a
this
time.
This happens a lot.
But I'm thinking that's kind of a weird time to find out that you're not going to be the big kahuna. You know, I was like, really? We've already signed papers. You mean we're not going to be the that's a crazy one.
And I go back to, wasn't it called a merger of equals when Mercedes took over Chrysler? And boy, yes. That was...
Merger of equals.
If you talk to people at Mitsubishi, and the thing to remember is that at the time, Chrysler had a stake in Mitsubishi. If you talk to the folks at Mitsubishi, it was that merger of equals that kind of destroyed Mitsubishi, especially in the U.S. One of the things that Daimler Chrysler wanted was to use second and third hand platforms for use by the American group, the Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram group, for products after they were used up by Mercedes. And then Mitsubishi would get what was left. It was kind of a horrible situation all around. And it was not a merger of equals, and it was not friendly. And Chrysler couldn't get out of that fast enough.
Define third-hand platform.
So this is an interesting story, and there's still a car, well, not anymore. The Mercedes-Benz E-Class, and I'm trying to think what year this would have come out, but 2004, 2005, very nice car. The Mercedes-Benz E-Class is usually a nice car, but it's a midsize sedan and a coupe, and there was a convertible too. That architecture would give way eventually to what became Chrysler's LX cars, the Charger, the Challenger, the 300, and the Magnum. So it was secondhand architecture then. And then they just never got around to redesigning it. They just kept updating it. So by the time they had gotten rid of the Chrysler 300, which just went out of production, that vehicle was close to 20 years old, or was 20 years old. It was way past its prime. And I mean, that's a good way to save money, but it's not a good way to keep up or keep current. And likewise, the Dodge Durango is based on a very old Mercedes-Benz ML crossover architecture.
And when he mentioned Mitsubishi, I flashed on the vehicle that we road tested for a week, fell in love with it, and almost bought a Mitsubishi Galant.
Yeah.
Remember how...
This would have been back about, what, 85-ish? Something like that.
Oh, okay.
It was the first time we'd driven a car with a CVT, the continuously variable transmission. And we loved it. And I remember... it had to be a little later in 80s because we had Frank Pyler in, and he was just railing about it. This was technology that we don't need.
And it was actually being positioned as kind of a semi-luxury vehicle.
It was a beautiful vehicle. Yeah. Remember, you open the doors and Mitsubishi would light up on the, which again, we're talking about decades ago.
But this was high tech at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. About that time, they sold the Diamante, which was a really cool
That was a
larger, more upscale sedan.
You're right. We always talk about recalls with you. We're going to take a break and come back. A listener says they have a Ford Explorer and it has a roof rack. And he says, is it true that there's a recall that might come flying off? So we'll get to that with Tom as we talk cars. And we can sneak in a couple more questions here. 312-981-7200. And recalls coming up with Tom on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio are talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And tonight's Tom's Cartoons theme is caution. The drummer is in charge. And who was that and what was that?
That was Philly Joe Jones and Elvin Jones, not related, but two separate drummers. The piece was called Leroy, L-E, new word, R-O-I. Off the album Philly Jones and Elvin Jones Together from 1961.
And my only problem with that is I wanted to hear more drumming.
And
I don't know. I think these are some hip tracks, Daddy-O.
And Tom, cool. You said this song would have made a good theme song for a talk show, right?
It felt like it. Yeah, I could see big curtains parting. Yeah.
Before we get carried away with the recalls and other things, what are you driving?
Oh, wow. I got a couple things I've been driving here. Let me just bring up one of these here. I am driving the 2025 Range Rover SE short wheelbase P530. Now, that P530 doesn't show up on a badge anyplace. It just indicates the engine. But very, very nice car and an interesting color called Batumi Gold.
Batumi?
Really sticks out. Batumi. B-A-T-U-M-I. Batumi.
Who or what is Batumi and why do we care?
I don't know. It's a very rich medium gold, very reflective, a lot of metallic action going on there, but it does stick out. Usually when I think Range Rover and I'm walking out of the house to see the car for the first time, I expect green, maybe black.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
This gold is freaking me out.
Because we have a neighbor that only drives Range Rovers and they have a half a dozen of them because they're a big family and they're all black. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's the most boring vehicle, and it always looks top-heavy.
And boxy.
And they drive it like they own the neighborhood. So forgive me while I vent, because you don't own that neighborhood. But I just looked at Batumi Gold. That's lovely. It's kind of metallic and sparkly. And
yeah, and it kind of changes color as the sun moves.
And Batumi is actually a town in Georgia. For what it's worth.
I had no idea.
I know.
And what else are you driving?
What else? I just drove, important car, I just drove the new Subaru Outback in Wilderness trim. And this is a big deal because it's a complete redesign. And it's Subaru's best-selling model and probably almost certainly their most profitable model. And there was some controversy here, most of it stirred up by me, that the new... The new Outback doesn't look like a station wagon anymore. It looks much too much like a crossover. However, sales are very, very strong through the first half of the year. So apparently no one cares except me. but that said, very nice car. It's roomy. It rides well. It's got that rough, rugged look that you want from a Subaru. Everything about this is nice. But I'm mostly impressed by the ride quality. And there's still just a little bit of that Subaru engine grunt. Mm-hmm. That reminds you that it's mechanical. I really like the car.
Does it still have a little step up? Not quite like an SUV, but a little higher than a sedan?
Yes. And then the Wilderness Edition that I'm driving is almost an inch higher still.
Oh.
Yeah.
For you to go off-roading in, I assume.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do serious off-roading in it, but if you had to take a trail to go someplace to camp or something like that, this car could do that.
I'm going to ask you for a little bit of a jargon alert.
Sure.
Reminds you that it's mechanical. Can you kind of define, I know what you're talking about, but can you sort of explain what that means in today's automotive marketplace?
Yeah, most engines today are... You know, almost everyone drives a 2-liter turbo these days. But if you have a V6 or a V8, it's probably so smooth that you kind of forget you're driving. And Subaru engines are legendarily flat. They're not inline. They're not Vs. There's four cylinders that are opposed to each other, which makes for a certain amount of interesting engine sound and a little bit of vibration or mechanical feel that you can detect. It is not crude. It is not loud. It is not offensive. But it's kind of fun, you know, like it makes you remember driving a mini bike or, you know, driving a friend's Jeep with the top down. It's kind of got that feel. Nothing about this, I think, is offensive. It shouldn't put drivers off, but you do hear and feel the engine a little bit. And I appreciate that.
Okay. Recalls. What do we need to know
about?
Well,
let me take you to the listener who says, I'm driving a 2019 Ford Explorer, and he says, I've heard that there might be a problem with my roof rack. So I thought, does that fall under recalls? And indeed it does, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. 288,000 Explorers, 2016 through 2019.
Oh, that's
are suffering
him.
From the, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
The roof rail could come off and detach. Apparently the ones with the problem are very rare and the fix is very simple. They're not going to have to wait for parts. The letters go out August 24.
Why couldn't you just fix it yourself though? If you've felt
take it into the dealer and they tighten the screws? I mean, what's the deal?
I think that might actually be it. And I think I just want to make sure you do it because there's no parts involved.
So for our listener who got wind of this, instead of freaking out about it, maybe just get up there and see if it's wobbly and then tighten it up. Right?
That's what my dad would have certainly done.
Sure.
Okay.
Wow. Well, so that's legit. I think
it, that was legit.
I get the feeling that somebody said, oh, man, you're driving a vehicle. That could fly off. and it kind of freaked him out. But you know what?
Well, tighten the nut.
It would concern me more if I was driving behind the guy.
Yeah.
And it came loose. And then you have a roof rack come into your windshield. Now, that would get your attention.
Mm. Yeah. If you're in the car that the roof rack comes off of, it's all funny to you.
That's right. But, it's like you're the guy that's helping a friend move, and you've just tied his mattress on the top of your car, and it flies off, and you think it's hysterical until people are driving over the mattress.
It's not your mattress.
That's right. You know, and all you got was pizza and maybe a beer out of it, so what do you care?
Can we con you? We're dangerously close to news. Can we con you into hanging with us for just a couple minutes after the news?
I am easily conned.
Okay. Well, we do need to get to a couple more recalls, because believe it or not, there are a few more. And we will try to sneak in your question if you have one at 312-981-7200. Some good questions tonight for Tom Appel, who joins us twice a month to talk cars here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, we are still talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, who is probably wondering what the, who the, how the, why the.
We actually played Stroken on the radio.
And there
that's not Art Blakey.
There is a reason for this.
Oh, my gosh.
This song was in the news within the past week, and I love this.
Because
more Chicago White Sox fans are going to be playing this as a theme, because there was an interview with Munetaka Murakami.
And he was asked, what is your favorite song? And in his translator asked him that, and he started singing
in Stroken.
Perfect English. And he's stroking to the east, stroking to the west. And I said, oh, my gosh. I mean, perfect English. And he was just grinning. And now White Sox fans are wearing Muna Stroking T-shirts. And the song is going to become popular again because
I love that.
And now the White Sox, in the dugout, they do the stroking, the dance to the east, to the... I'm like, oh, my gosh. Clarence Carter...
The same Clarence Carter who did Patches.
Who just passed away a couple of weeks ago at 91 years old. And
extraordinary performer.
That song didn't get a lot of play on AM radio, though, because it's very, very adult. Now, let me turn
But you need to test one of your car sound systems with that. So which car or truck or SUV do you think Stroken would work best
with? Gotta be a Cadillac.
Gotta be a big honking Escalade.
I was going to say a 68 Charger.
That's good too.
Or maybe a Lowrider.
Yes.
Can't you see a Lowrider just kind of...
Wait, can I turn to Jonathan in the producer's booth? Jonathan actually said, because he's the one that cues up the music... Was Stroken, in fact, your father's karaoke song of choice?
Yes.
And that song?
Yes, that very song. That's why I was lip-syncing it behind. He owned a tavern for 25 years in Elgin, Illinois, and he had a karaoke night. I believe it was on Friday nights, like during Fish Fry. Uh-huh. And that was his go-to song.
Stroken.
I love that.
Funny. And can you imagine now that it's going to become popular because Muna?
Your dad sounds like a very cool guy.
I hope this catches fire. That would be amazing.
I've got to send you the video of Muna being interviewed because it's so funny.
And he just starts singing. And you wouldn't hit no accent, no nothing. He's just singing, stroking to the east, stroking to the west.
I thought that once you became a parent, your favorite karaoke song automatically became Sweet Caroline.
Oh,
no?
That's right.
Not for the gentleman that owned Bubba McDuffie's.
Bubba McDuffie.
That's a great name.
My father was Bubba.
That's legendary.
Awesome.
Wow. In Elgin, Illinois. Is it still there?
It's not. And 2013. So I believe it was from 1988 to 2013 was the longevity.
Wow. A tavern is different than a bar.
Yeah.
Right? You agree? Everybody agree? It's different than a bar.
It was a tavern bar, like shot in a beer bar.
Kind. That's it.
Yeah, it was a shot in a beer bar.
Okay.
And you got a good jukebox, and it smells like beer. It's got to smell like beer. Okay, well, we kept Tom hanging around here. One of our listeners had a question about the over the past 10 years, in Tom's opinion, the best cars that he has road tested and those that he would stay away from. And we decided, right, Tom? We decided off air that this would be a good topic for 2 weeks from now.
Yes. Okay. I made a list and I'm not happy with it. So, yeah, 2 weeks is good.
All right. We did not get to any of the other recalls, and we're going to sneak in line one because Matthew, I believe, has a question about a recall. Is that right, Matt?
Oh.
That is, and it's perfect timing because my AC has went out.
Oh, no.
Oops.
Yeah. It's a 2019 Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. Took it into the dealer, and it was replaced, not under a recall, but it was... it should have been a recall, but it was in manufacturer extended warranty, they called it. Mm-hmm. And they replaced the shaft seal on the compressor. It worked fine. 7 days later, it stopped again. And I take it back, and they tell me, well, now it's the compressor, which is not covered under the extended warranty from Honda. So we're trying to deal with Honda corporate, telling them that the shaft seal leaked, and that's what caused the compressor. So it really should be covered. It's like a cause and effect. Do you agree with my...
Your rationale?
My rationale, and try to get the AC replaced for free, because they ain't cheap to have a compressor replaced.
I think we agree with your rationale. Tom, the question is, will Honda corporate agree?
Right.
That's a good question, right? Honda is handling this right now as an extended warranty, and it's supposed to cover the condenser. Whatever's included in the condenser is a good question, but I suspect this will go full recall at some point. There's just too many parts involved. But it's just, this is interesting, just 2019 models, the Civic, the Accord, and the Insight.
And that's you, huh? Right,
yeah,
Matt? That's you. So is this a case of maybe it's best to wait it out?
I would call the dealer, and if the dealer doesn't want to help, try to find the local service rep.
And how would he find the service guy? How would he find the local service rep?
Dealership will give you that information.
Like the district manager or something.
Yep. There's a guy that cruises between all the dealers and handles their service stuff. Often they don't want to go to that guy, but under the circumstances, I think they're going to be pretty lenient about this.
Yeah, I've heard they do Goodwill repairs sometime.
Yeah, and this would certainly fall under that.
It's a good question. Well, good luck. Keep us posted, will you?
I will give that a try.
All right, thank you,
I'll
Matthew.
I'll let you know if I don't die in a hot car.
Yeah, that's of all the days. The
timing
too.
Is everything.
Yeah, but we're going to have milder temperatures for the next week, she said, fingers and toes all crossed.
From your lips.
Yes, right. Tom, I have a Subaru recall, 541,000 vehicles, including Crosstag, Forester, and Ascent models. Due to an incorrect weight rating on the certification label, Subaru will probably provide a new overlay label to the affected owner. So that's not the end of the world, right?
This is the easiest recall ever.
Yeah.
They will literally mail you a sticker to put over the old sticker. That is 100% of the recall. And if you want to drive there, you can make someone at a dealership put the sticker on for you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know if you can get coffee out of this one.
Do you have any other recalls? I have one more, the Hyundai, recalling 47,000 Kona and Kona electric SUVs because the rear center seat belt buckles may not properly restrain passengers in a crash. Now, that's a serious one.
Yeah. I've got a weird one, and we might want to talk about this next visit. Zooks. The Amazon company that's very much like Waymo that is running driverless taxis in some cities, including Austin, has a recall out for 105 of its vehicles that apparently do not recognize smoke.
Huh?
So
and they've been charging into accident scenes.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh?
So there's probably more to that story. I just started reading about
you
it today.
See, but our faces, we're like, huh? Like cartoon faces.
By the way, Zoox builds its own car, like Tesla's going to do with their robo-taxi. So there's an actual vehicle out there. It's called the Zoox robo-taxi. And that vehicle has been recalled, basically.
Where is the Zoox built?
I think in California.
Really?
All this stuff happens in Arizona and California, all the EV stuff.
Well, because they have more of them, right?
Yeah, and that's basically, too, that you got Silicon Valley there and all the corporate headquarters. So the Zoox has not built very many cars, so wherever they're assembling them now, probably not where they're going to be assembling them in a couple of years.
I was looking for a crazy Tesla story that we came across the other day, and I said to you, Steve, I said, Teslas are out to kill grandmas. That's all there is to it, because it was the Tesla that drove through the house and into the living room, and the grandma.
And Tesla was saying no, they had disabled the.
The grandma was in her car, and she couldn't get out. She was captured in the car, and it was hot, and she was pounding and begging people to get her out of the car, and they couldn't get her out of the car, and was locked up. And
so somehow they had somebody held a cell phone with a message or something up to the window.
I don't know. It was crazy. I said, grandma's got to be careful. And there was video of this woman just pleading for people to get her out of the car. And I thought, break a window, right?
You'd think.
There used to be a tool that you used to throw into your glove box.
We've got one.
We got one.
With the little hammer. And it's got the seatbelt knife as well.
Yes.
And you do like one quick
snap
of the window, and the window is shattered.
You
should be able to push it out then, yeah.
My fear is bridges. I hate going across bridges. And to me, when I imagine just the worst scenario, it's the car goes off and into the water, and I'm thinking, okay,
even as we're coming into the station each weekend, we come to Grand Avenue and cross over the Chicago River.
I hate it. I'm like, speed. I don't care if there are cars in front of you. Get us over this bridge. And it wobbles and it's terrifying. But those are really, really good little, tools to have. And I recently read you can take your headrest off and then use the metal parts, when you lift your headrest out of the seat, and then you just hold onto the pillow part of it and you jam the window with the metal.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Oh, well, good.
Interesting.
My work here is done.
You'll have to try that on the next car you're testing, Tom.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll understand. Yeah. It's in the name of science.
Yeah, we'll write you a note and say you did it for research.
Thank you.
In the name of science. Okay, before we let you out of here, people can find you where and when.
Yeah, just check us out at consumerguide.com. If you want to listen to the next episode of the podcast, live Tuesday morning.
All right, sounds good. And you'll be back with us in a couple of weeks. And for the listener who asked about the cars that you feel are the best and the ones to stay away from, that's Tom's assignment. He's going to tackle that for you, and we'll talk in 2 weeks.
And he will explain to us at that point why he's not happy with the list he's making.
That's right.
I made one during the commercial break, and I'm like, I don't love it.
I don't love it. You didn't want to sign off on it, right?
No.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, very quickly, you briefly mentioned this, but a fascinating article on forgotten cars and the Monarch that was a Ford Motor Company up in Canada version of the Mercury, but not really, but kind of cool.
Yeah. So between 1950 and 1958, Ford found out that its Ford dealers needed maybe something a little bit more upscale to sell, more along the lines of a Mercury. So they developed this brand just for Canada, and they're basically Mercuries with Ford styling, and the brand was called Monarch, and it was a separate brand up in Canada for those 8 years. Would have gone longer, but it was replaced by Edsel in 1958.
Oh, there's a smart move.
Yeah, that went well.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having your dad name you Edsel?
And then
I can't either. And
has there ever been anyone in the history of Earth named Edsel?
Yeah. Yeah, they...
No, I mean, who else?
Oh, I... Maybe there's some Eds.
Was there an Edsel Smith or an...
There are probably some Eds out there that were saddled with that name. Bless their hearts.
Edsel's kid was not Edsel Jr. It was Henry Ford II. So, just...
Smart move.
Yeah.
Say goodnight, Tom.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom.
Have a good one. Bye now.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. That is Alice Wallace. Alice will be joining us in studio next week. That song just blew me away the first time I heard it. The song is called Better Than This. And Facebook, in its wisdom, decided that I should pay attention to people from Nashville because I have several friends from Nashville. And out of nowhere, a couple weeks ago in my feed, popped this post from Alice. And she was talking about how she was moving from Nashville to Chicago.
Hmm.
And I did a little research and started checking out her music, and I was blown away by this song. So contacted her. She has now officially moved from Nashville. In fact, she's going to be doing some teaching at the Old Town School of Folk Music. She has performed all over the country. In fact, I forgot to mention it when the Empty Pockets were on. We were talking to them off the air about Alice, and they said that they had worked with Alice.
Yeah.
They know her. They like her a lot. So she's going to be in studio with us next week, and
ironically,
we can't wait to meet her.
Erica Brett from the Empty Pockets said that they worked with Alice in Texas.
Yes.
Not in Chicago, but in Texas. And she said, yeah, she's got a voice. And as I was listening with my headphones on, she has a fabulous voice. There's a little bit of Linda Ronstadt.
A little bit.
A
little bit of classic country.
Yeah, like a Crystal Gayle.
Yeah.
You know, that pure holding a note kind of country sound. And she writes her own music.
Yep.
I mean, that's some pretty powerful lyrics there, too.
Yeah.
I'm excited. That'll be good. That's next week.
So be here or be square.
You know what next week is?
Oh, I hadn't.
Yes.
Right now, I just realized this.
I did, too. They say it's your birthday.
Yeah. Next Sunday morning.
Yes, we'll be here for your birthday. Well, we'll just have to have a party.
Okay, works for me.
In fact, we did have a caller send in a birthday wish.
Oh, really?
Mel gave us a call.
Really?
Oh, well, thank you, Mel. I wonder what the wish was for.
For your birthday.
Well, but...
A happy birthday.
Okay.
Right, Jonathan? Happy birthday. Tell
That's
him it's happy.
That's the birthday wish. Oh, yes,
okay,
happy birthday from Mel.
Okay.
We're going to take a break for news. We're getting into the final stretch of the show, which is zipped right by. So we'll get a whole bunch more to squeeze in the final stretch. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I should know who that is. That is so familiar to me. Jonathan, who is that? I love that. I've heard it before. Who is that?
That is the Blues Brothers,
of course.
And Elwood.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
But the song has been around for a long time.
She Caught the Katie.
Yes.
Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal did She Caught the Katie.
Probably did.
I think he wrote She Caught the Katie.
Great track. That was one of the dealer's choices from Jonathan.
That's a good one.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Why did that come across your radar? What made you think of that?
Well, I had seen Blues Brothers on the big screen for the first time a couple of years ago, and that's one of the VHS tapes that I completely wore out in my youth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I never got a chance to see it when like on the big screen like everybody else did. So I find it to be, you know, it's the original Saturday Night Live movie, but it's a great Chicago movie.
Yeah.
It's a great car chase movie. It's a great buddy film. It's just got so much things going for it. And, like, of course, the soundtrack is just, it's tops.
Yeah, well, Ray Charles, Aretha. Mm-hmm.
James Brown.
James Brown.
I interviewed James Brown the night that the movie opened.
Oh, and what's his face? This is horrible. Oh, I can see him. Heidi, 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 ho.
Cab Calloway.
Yes. Yes.
Tonight, you mentioned the Blues Brothers movie as we were driving into work, Steve.
I did.
We pulled off of Lakeshore Drive on Grand Avenue. We're pulling under Lower Wacker, and there were tourists all around us. And
right.
We both said, you know what? You got to cut them some slack because you could see South Carolina. Like, it's kind of weird when you pull down there. And you said, probably they pull down and say, this is like the Blues Brothers movie.
The Blues Brothers or Batman or,
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah.
Because it is like another world when you pull into Lower Wacker. And if you're not from the area, you're like, okay, where am I? And why is there a river? And what's going on? And how do I get out of here? Unless you've seen the movies,
yeah.
then you realize that it's a part. It's the underground.
And that chase scene is just so iconic.
It's wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, speaking of Belushi, my favorite mm-hmm. Belushi movie. Have you ever seen Continental Divide?
I've not.
Again,
I've heard of it.
Put Chicago.
It on your list.
Chicago movie.
Belushi plays a writer for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he winds up traveling to the Continental Divide. It should be on your radar. It was the last movie Belushi did,
I think so.
Sadly, it showed the kind of actor he could have become.
So good.
He is
perfectly. Perfectly
it's one of the
cast.
One of the few movies that if I'm scrolling 3 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and it's on, I'm there.
Continental Divide, definitely on my short list.
Wonderful.
Yep. Can I just say, because every now and then we are getting to know each other's taste in movies and music and television. Jonathan, do you like... like Sopranos, that kind of television show? Were you a Sopranos fan? Because we weren't, but this show that I'm going to tell you about, I love.
I didn't get into the Sopranos. I know how big of a phenomena it was.
Yeah.
And basically put like HBO and AMC as far as like original television programming on the map. That type of storytelling. So when I think of Sopranos, I think of stuff like Breaking Bad, which I definitely got into.
Now, I've never liked I've watched Godfather 1, 2, and 3. In fact, I watched all three of them one night at the McClurg Court Theater, which was insane. But there's a television show.
It's called Memory of a Killer.
Memory of a Killer. It's 10 episodes. They've signed it up for a second season.
It's on Fox. You can get all of the reruns.
It's like watching a movie every episode. And Patrick Dempsey mm-hmm. is the star from...
I think he's one of the producers, too.
Grey's Anatomy. He is so well cast in this movie.
I'm not giving away
a television
anything.
Show.
It has to do with a hired killer who starts developing Alzheimer's.
Oh. As in the title, Memory of a Killer. Now, his brother has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he's beginning to realize that, wait a minute, like when he opens the refrigerator and there his gun is in the refrigerator. Oh, I thought I put that in the safe last night.
That's an interesting approach.
It
sounds a little almost comedic, but it's not.
It's
the way it is presented very big screen,
yes,
cinematically.
And surprisingly, very violent for over-the-air TV, for Fox Television, because frequently I watch it through my hand.
It's one of those things that we can't watch it just before we're going to lay down or Johnny will have nightmares.
I can't. It's just that it's intense.
It is really well done, well acted, well directed.
Imperioli from The Sopranos,
right.
He's in it. And I mean, he's perfectly cast in it. So for those of you looking for something to watch this summer, I know it's not light entertainment, but it will hold your interest. Again, I can only watch one episode at a time, one hour episode, because it's really intense. Very well done. Memory of a Killer on Fox Television.
We should remind you that next week we do have a full show next week, starting at 9 o'clock. And as we mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we're going to meet and introduce you to Alice Wallace, a new talent, new to us talent. And she's going to be bringing her guitar and performing in studio. Dr. Patrick Crispin will join us. And oh boy, are there bunches of things to go over with Patrick, too.
Yeah. Speaking of Alice moving from Nashville, coming to Chicago to live, doing our show next week, just a quick mention, our friend Bill Anderson.
Yeah.
Tonight was his night at the Grand Ole Opry.
Celebrating his 60 years.
65.
65 years,
65
you're right.
Years.
And nobody has ever done this.
And it was the 5,246th Saturday night live radio broadcast of the Grand Ole Opry celebrating Bill Anderson's 65th anniversary. And taking the stage with Bill Anderson, Lori Morgan, Crystal Gayle, Rhonda Vincent, the Isaacs, John Barry, and Uncle Cracker? Really?
Okay.
And Steve Dorff. Those were some of the folks that popped up on the show. And we had an opportunity to visit with Bill Anderson just a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. and talk about his history. He's always so much fun to interview and to just to hang out and chat with. So if you'd like to hear that, you can go back to our...
You can go to our blog. Go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. Scroll down to where there is a link to the June 27th WGN Radio podcast. And click on that.
We spent an hour with Bill and talked about his beginnings and how he had hoped to become a baseball player as mm-hmm. a big Cubs fan. And I think he did some scouting, and then next thing you know, he was doing radio, sports radio. And
he told us that he's working on a new album, too.
Yes, and there are, at this point in time, there are 9 songs being played on the radio that that man has written.
Yeah.
Which is just blows my mind because he's not a kid.
But he's one of the good guys.
And he is aging really well because he's staying very active and is a darn good writer, too. So if you have any interest, check out that interview with him.
Oops. Big plug, Bob.
I know.
He's just firing up the Zamboni.
Yeah.
The blue lights are starting to flash, and he's going to clear up the studio. So for one day, whoops, okay. Wait a minute, sorry, Bob.
We just have some cookie crumbs, that's all.
Yeah, so if you would like to be our last caller and maybe win some goodies from this here radio place, you can get your dial and finger ready, and you could call area code 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200.
That would be 7200.
Yes, as in 100. And as long as you haven't won anything from this here radio palace within the next next, who knows? If you've won something in the next 6 months, let me know.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Did we survive? Are we still here? Do you know where 6 months takes us? Into the new year. Holy smokes.
Are we ready for that? Well, no, we don't want any more smoke. We've had enough holy smokes.
No, but really, 6 months, yeah, the holidays are over with.
So, I hope you enjoyed what I got you for Christmas.
I'm so depressed. I'm always depressed in January.
Jonathan, did you enjoy your Christmas bonus? Was it good?
I heard the check's in the mail, right?
Okay.
No, actually, it's the wear white at night and drive with the lights on. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, if you...
Okay.
Just call. By the way, Jonathan, you might want to turn your microphone off. This is such a finely tuned machine.
I love it. It's wonderful. All right, we're going to take.
What is there about the last half hour? The wheels fall off. The hubcaps go down in the drain.
Well, you know, part of the problem is my blood sugar tanks. I got to find some reason for this insanity. My blood sugar goes down, and I get lightheaded and giddy, and I'm hungry. And we've been debating. I guess it's going to be cold meatloaf when we get home, right?
But that works for me, meatloaf sandwich.
Yeah, with some ketchup on it.
Yeah, that's
good. Some good, soft, gluten-free
bread.
All right,
we'll put you on hold. Yum, yum, yum.
Do we have any right now? Come on. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for our last caller here on WGN.
And not a moment too soon. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Closing time. Yep. Let's go.
Yeah, you really kind of do. That's our friend Red Peters, the closing song. No, we ain't gonna play all of it. If you want to hear it, go to YouTube, look up Red Peters, the closing song, and you can hear why we ain't gonna play all of it. But Red is coming out with a new album. We're gonna have to get him back on.
Yes, we are.
To talk about the new album. I don't know if we'll be able to play anything from the new album.
That's right. But in the past, he's made available radio friendly versions of his music. So he's a stitch. All right. Last caller means, in fact, I think, Steve, you chose the last caller last week. So I'm choosing number three is our last caller this week.
And that would be number three is Mike. Hey, Mike, where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike.
Elmwood Park.
Elmwood Park. Nice to have you along here. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm from Elmwood Park. I've talked to you guys before. Last year. Things are going okay for me. I just had bypass surgery back in January. Everything is good. I had three arteries that were blocked, and
so you're in better shape today than you were last year at this time.
Right. Matter of fact, I was in the hospital for about a week.
Isn't that amazing, though, considering what was done to you, that you were only in there for a week?
And it's one of those times when you're glad to be alive in 2026, where we have the medical technology.
Because years ago,
if somebody was in the situation you were in, they wouldn't be here to make this phone call. You are. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, they didn't actually crack my ribs. They went on top of my heart, and that's how they did it.
Yeah.
And they just kind of stretched my... whatever they did. I got a small little incision on my leg.
Amazing.
Vein out. And then the other part was out of my breastbone, and that was it. I mean,
yeah.
I was back to work in March.
Wow.
And what do you do?
I'm a crossing guard in River Grove.
Okay.
I work right by the school on River Grove Avenue in Thatcher.
So you have the summer, and you're probably looking at sometime in August that you go back to work?
Actually, about the second week in August, they have a small summer school for that week. And then we start the regular, the regular school season.
I actually have a picture that I drew when I was in sixth grade. When I was in first grade, I was 6 years old, and we had to draw what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I drew a picture of me as a crossing guard. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And there's a picture of me with a whistle and the crossing guard band, and I was like so proud.
And Mike, you will be amazed at the number of kids that will remember you years from now. I'll give you a quick example. There is one crossing guard I will never forget. Her name was Noel. She was a crossing guard at 79th and I think it was 79th and Chappelle. And I remember because there was one day when, as I was coming home from school, she was the one that told me that the plane had crashed and Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens had passed away. And that's how I found out about that from the crossing guard.
I can imagine. Well, I'll tell you, this is going back a few years. I used to work in Elk Grove in a warehouse. And the day that plane, I think it was 79 maybe?
Yep.
The one that landed, I was sitting at Higgins in 83 and I saw the fireball.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And the first thing I thought, because there's all right by the tollway, there's a bunch of Amoco had their refinery, terminal there. And I go, man, if I don't make it to the tollway, I know it. Because those tanks are going to blow one by one. Well, it turned out it was the plane where the engine fell off the plane. And I saw the fireball, and it scared me. Because I thought,
yeah.
But, it was something.
Yeah, you know, I remember that so well because the next week I talked to a gentleman that was caught in traffic and missed his flight, and that was his flight. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting in traffic when he saw the plane he was supposed to be on go down. And I mean, I was talking to him, he was holding back the tears. He said, this is life changing. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for the traffic, I would have been there, too.
So what are your plans for later today, Mike?
Well, normally, I'm a mechanic by trade. I'm helping a friend of mine put an old Austin Healey to get her from the ground up.
Austin Healey, how cool.
Yeah, so we've been doing it for the last 12 years because my neighbor that lives two doors down from me, he's a printer, so he has his printing business. So we got to kind of do it when we can, you know. And
I'm curious, what year Austin Healey?
69.
Wow.
Oh, man. How cool is that?
Yeah, this car, the original car, we had to get a donor car because the original car, the flooring was gone in it. It would have cost him a lot of money to put the flooring in. So we said, why don't you go see if you can get a donor's car? Because he's got an MG, a 75 MG that they did 20 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, they did it. He restored it 20 years ago, and this car... he wanted to do, but he didn't have time and the money. So finally, he got the donor car, and his best friend and me, we built the engine. The engine's running. We just have to do a few adjustments on it. And he also knows how to paint. His friend knows how to paint. So
really,
the car's going to be painted sunflower yellow. But everything on it,
I love that.
Everything on it is new. I mean, that brake system, everything. I told them, no, don't skimp on anything.
Yeah.
The only thing they didn't replace in the car, which I thought was amazing, is the clutch.
Mm-hmm.
The clutch is the original clutch that came with the car.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
How hard has it been for you to source original parts for that?
Not really bad. You go to a company called either Victoria or Moss, because they deal, Austin Healey and MG, they're built in the same plant.
Right.
They're built by British Leyland. So most of the parts are kind of interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain parts that isn't. But engine-wise, you can look at his engine in the MG. It's the same engine that's in the Austin Healey.
Steve, I know what you're thinking, though, because you're able to get those parts for cars from 69, and we're having a heck of a time getting a left strut.
Yeah.
For a 2005 vehicle. We can get the right. We've already purchased
it. I'm trying to get a left front strut for a 2005 Cadillac DeVille DTS. Now, this was the DeVille DTS before the DTS became a standalone
We got the right one, and they told us we had a left one. Then they said, oops, we don't have it anymore. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Mike, it's a pleasure to talk to you. We're up against the clock, but thank you for checking in, and good luck to you, and enjoy your Sunday working on a car.
Hold on for a couple seconds, and Jonathan will get some information from you off the air.
Mm-hmm. And you will get an official WGN Radio T-shirt. I say official because somebody sent me a text the other day, a message on Facebook, and said, what do you know about this company selling GN T-shirts? And said, no, don't do that. Don't be going and buying T-shirts from random folks that say it's official. It's not.
Yeah, no.
No. They just want your credit card numbers, what it is, basically.
Well, again, this has been a very fast 5 hours. We have a full show next week, 9 o'clock. We will meet and introduce you to Alice Wallace. Dr. Patrick Crispin will be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of other stuff. So we hope you will hang around. Our thanks to Jonathan for keeping us kind of on the straight and narrow.
And Bob, keeper of the big plug, and Ron in the newsroom, and Demetrius. And thank you all for listening in. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you next Saturday night right here on WGN.